Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, January 17, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Or if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Let me clear the board here. Well, we're in the Gospel of Luke, and we did read, goodness, did I open that page yet? I guess I didn't open the page. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, I think I did. No, maybe I didn't. Okay, it's going to take a second to open this page up. I thought I had opened this up already prior. But anyway, we'll be picking up in a couple of minutes on chapter 18. Tonight, I don't know why this ain't opening. It's not doing it. Okay, let's try this again. All right, I can't seem to open it up. We may be reading the gospel here without the words tonight if I can't get this open. And it doesn't seem to want to open. Okay, we're going to go through the gospel of Luke without the words tonight. And it is, we're in chapter 18. Oh, wait a second, I see it here. Now it's open. There it is. It was lost behind one of the screens. Okay, while that's opening, I just want to throw something out here, and we're going to pick this up a little later in the evening. It's been brought to my attention that it might be a good idea to drop back to 2 hours instead of 3 hours on our Monday night program. Now, we've been 3 hours since 2010, when we first started and we were New York committeemen way back then. And we've been a three-hour program every Monday night, and we rarely missed. I mean, I know one or two occasions where I was out without electric and I didn't come in. But generally speaking, other than maybe something falling on Christmas or something, we've been here. And so we haven't really missed any, per se. Again, maybe one or two at the most in all these years. I think our Monday night program is important for numerous reasons, of course, to keep everybody alert, keep everybody active and doing things. We don't get as many people as we used to get. And I think a lot of people have felt complacent. Some of that might have been my fault or NLA's fault, shall I say, primarily mine, because we've been building the website for quite some time and I haven't been paying attention very much and putting things on to different pages and trying to stick something here and something there. And it just got so overloaded that I think when people come on, they're not really getting the message. As most people know at this point, we had some serious problems over the holidays. I think we were assaulted by someone. That's my personal opinion. I think someone got into our system and screwed up our system, able to push out papers to people telling them thank you for your donation for $1,000 or $5,000 or $500. And of course, nothing really went through. We don't keep credit cards or any information in our on a line or anything, so they couldn't get into anything like that. But they were able to push it out and get it out, and people have been getting these things and notifications that money was going to be taken out of their bank. I've answered a couple of people who have responded. I've made note of this. I think I sent a letter out to everyone concerning this. I don't remember whether I did that or not, but I'm pretty sure I probably did. Letting them know that what had happened. But in any event, our website did get scrambled up a bit, And it forced me to take a real serious look at the website. I've spent a couple of weeks now reconstructing our website and rebuilding it and restructuring it, which is the key thing here. Let me open this up here. So I've been restructuring the website. We made it a lot better as far as being able to get around, which I think we're going to spend some time tonight looking at that fact. But before we go any further, I got the page open with the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Let's do that first, and then we'll come back and start talking about things and maybe take some questions. This is read by Alexander Scorby. Gospel
chapter
of
Luke. 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man.
I'm not sure whether we're coming through or not. Is anyone hearing me? Because I don't see any active speaker up there. Terry?
You came through loud and clear.
Yep.
I'm coming through. Okay, I'll continue.
You're fine.
All right.
Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God.
Okay. I guess first thing, by the way, if anyone wants to get into the queue, star 6 and 1, and I'm not sure whether I finished what I was talking about concerning just 3 hours. We're thinking of drawing back to 2 hours. I'd like to get people's opinions and thoughts on that. 3 hours is kind of long, but again, we've been doing it for a long time. But on the other side of things, we do want to start maybe putting this out through Rumble. We're up on Rumble, for those who don't know. I'm sure most people do know by now. We've got lots of videos, and we also got lots of videos on our site. Most of our videos had been shut down, so again, this problem with the website had given me an opportunity to get all these videos, move them from YouTube, which they've shut us down anyway, but move the videos up onto Rumble. And so I've done that with most of them. I still have a little more to do. And of course, there'll always be new videos going up. And I think we're going to start streaming off Rumble on Monday Night Calls. 2 hours for that for definitely is much better than a three-hour program. So I think what we're going to do is we're probably going to work things out where maybe I get the first hour, Gerard will get the second hour, and we'll have Brent speak in between the 2 hours there. We'll give him 15 to 20 minutes or whatever he thinks he needs in order to bring his message out. Brent always has a good message to bring us and to teach us. So we'll work that out. And we'll take it from there if we're going to do 2 hours. And I think we're probably going to end up doing 2 hours. And again, I'd like to get feedback on people's thinking on that. Now, again, as I was saying, we do have Rumble. You can visit our Rumble site. It should be on the right-hand side of our website. There it is right here. You can subscribe to our Rumble channel. So you can click on that and you can come to our page and see a lot of the videos we have up here. But what you will find is most of these videos is already on our website. I don't know if all of them are. I think they are. Pretty sure they are. If there's maybe a couple that may not be, but I don't think that that's the case. But we have categorized them on our website, and we put them in what I think was a proper order. So I do want to go real quickly tonight to kind of just review the tabs, what we've done on the website, and hopefully I'll be able to do this in just maybe 10 minutes or 5 minutes or something. It's going to be quite quick, just kind of an overview, and then we'll go to take any. Do we have any questions or any announcements, Jan or Terry?
No, you answered them all last week, John.
Thank God. Okay.
And no. Brent here.
Huh? Yeah, I saw Brent. Yeah. Okay. Let me just run through the website. And, you know, one of the problems I think we had is we had way too much stuff on our front page, and we kept adding things, and then it got out of hand in the sense of not really being focused on what it is that we're doing. Anybody who visits our website now, if they just focus in on the front page, and there is a long video on the front of the website, of course, which is the seminar, and that's 3 hours long. Okay, and hopefully people will sit down through it. But, you know, I think if they start going through it, I think they'll be drawn in because we got some powerful information. We had a few powerful videos on there, very patriotic and drawing. And I think our focus was quite clear on what our founding fathers had done to create this nation and to preserve a way of life, a common law, ultimately. Through what was called the Committees of Safety. And this goes all the way back to the Pilgrims, the landing of the Pilgrims, right on through to our founding fathers, and even as the nation continued until the enemy has destroyed everything. The minions of the New World Order, which is the bar attorneys, the sole purpose of bar attorneys and the bar association is to destroy common law. That's their sole purpose. And I plan on proving that and laying that out in the courts in the very near future. Of course, right now, laying out in the courts wouldn't do very well, but at some point in time, we will lay this out in the courts. So I've got a lot of that already written up. I just got to get the paperwork together and finish it off and then just let it sit aside until the time comes. And there's a couple of court cases. We also have to go in to deal with the United States Supreme Court. And it does seem that a couple of them are finally standing up. I think a lot of what went down with Trump really early on was part of the whole plan to allow this thing to go where it goes, to let to show the people on how corrupt not only the Democratic Party is, but also the Republican Party. A good deal of the Republican Party is as corrupt as the Democratic Party. I don't know if there's any Democrats that really are patriots. I really don't know. I'm not aware of any, at least not on the national scene. Maybe in states, maybe we'll find some. But I'm talking about the hardcore Democrats, the Democrats that are in power really that are supporting, ultimately, the New World Order. They're behind and being really controlled by the deep state. But again, the same thing is true with the Republicans, okay? But we do have some good Republicans. And again, we may have some good Democrats in the states. Don't get me wrong. I don't know anything about the legislators of the states. Only what I keep an eye on the federal level and what goes on in my own state to some degree. So they are totally corrupt, and we need to do something about it, and we need to really do something about the United States Supreme Court. They have one purpose. The United States Supreme Court has one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to champion the Constitution at all costs. When someone brings a case into the court, and their right of due process has been violated, and many, many other things. But the prime one, the focus, is the due process, and clearly is the case. They have a duty to champion those individuals that are bringing those cases in, and they refuse to do so. They just outright refuse. The federal court system, the federal judiciary, is... I don't think any exaggeration to say it's 90 and maybe 95 and maybe even more percent corrupt. It is almost impossible to find a judge that'll stand on truth and justice. And it's impossible to get one who will rule, and they hijack every court case that comes in there, hijack every one. And I don't want to get too lost on that, so I'll bypass that. But we do have to do something, and we do plan on doing something. Now, one of the things I want to bring up again is the fact that we're thinking of going to 2 hours, so I really want people to think about that and give us your thoughts and opinions. We probably are going to go to 2 hours, but unless there's an overwhelming push to stay with three, we may consider to do three. But it does work out a lot better to be able to broadcast through Rumble, and to do it live and also have it up there for people to go back and listen to and watch. And I think the visual is a lot better than the audio. The only thing we have to offer people ultimately is the audio. But if we put them up, we post them up on Rumble, we'll be able to offer people the video of our Monday night meetings. And sometimes that plays an important role, of course, especially when we do studies and we talk about different things that we can open pages up and look at and talk about. We have been cutting off the music on the beginning of our program from being recorded, mostly for the reason because you can't post any video with a song up on any of these things, and that would include Rumble also. I disagree with that decision. We're not out here making money or anything on this thing, and we're trying to get a message out. And for those who don't pay attention to the music has a very, very powerful message. Every song I play, and I've got quite a few songs, I try to really mix them up and change it every Monday. But it's a message. There's a message in there. And it's a purpose. And it falls in exactly what we are doing as a people. So people, if you're not paying close attention to the music and the words of the songs, you should pay a little more closer attention. But tonight, again, let me just go real quickly through the website. Under our welcome tab, we have our mission statement. And again, I'm not going to go through all these pages, but I just want to try to lay out how we put things together. The welcome page is the most important page because, again, as I was saying, if you go through our welcome page, it now really leads the people down the path and tells them exactly who we are and what we are doing. And so anybody that comes to this website and goes through the front page, watches the videos and reads what we have here, and underneath the long video is a couple of short videos. But these are nowhere as long as the other one. I don't even remember how long they are. Let's see. This is a 4-minute video here. This one here is an hour's video, Saving America in a Nutshell. I might move that off because that may be redundant to what we're doing on the first video. I'll have to take a look at that. This video here, A Power of the Grand Jury, is 36 minutes. It's a very powerful video in my opinion. And so if they lead down, those are the videos that are on here, and there's not a lot of writing, but there is a message, and it leads them down, and it brings them really to the breadcrumb trail. There's two breadcrumb trails that we lead through on our website. One is under the education. Your education starts here. And the other one is on Start a Committee of Safety. And what we're trying to teach people and tell people, in order to save the nation, we have to, A, become educated. We have to understand the Constitution and common law. We must understand how our founding fathers put this nation together and their words and who they are as a people and the morality. And as a matter of fact, we are a Christian nation. We're nothing less than a Christian nation, and we should stand strong on that because that's the message. And when we stand up for Christ on the fact that we are a Christian nation, then we will be blessed because we are that city on the hill. We are that Israel that was spoken of in the Bible. It is America that has brought the gospel to the world and it brought the light of the gospel to the world. But our founding fathers clearly, majority of them were Christians. And there were some who were atheists and willing to work with our founding fathers, and our founding fathers accepted them. No one is rejected. The Christian religion is a very friendly religion to all people, even atheists. We have a message, and hopefully they'll hear the message, and if they don't, we'll pray for that, and we let it be. That's God's hands. It's not ours. And as long as the people are happy to live under the liberty and the blessings of liberty that we receive from being a Christian nation, then we can work things out. But if they're here to destroy it, we need to deal with that, and that's what's going on. There are people here to destroy the morals of our children, to destroy morality, period. What they've done, with the narratives that they bring and what Hollywood has bring, what education has bring, our nation is in such a mess. Anyone born in the last 25 to 30 years, roughly speaking, and maybe even longer than that, I feel so sorry for those people because they didn't have what I had. They didn't have a patriotic upbringing, and that was the standard. They didn't have a Christian upbringing, and that was the standard when I was young. And if you go back even further, it was even stronger than what it was. I was born and raised in the 50s and the 60s, and life was so different. Today, these children, they live in fiction. They live in a la-la land. They bring their electronic devices to school, and they're constantly playing around with that, tweeting back and forth. They're not paying attention. They're being really disruptive to some degree with those things. And they're injuring themselves. They learn only to tweet back and forth to each other. They don't have long conversations. They don't have physical contact. They're in the fictional world here. Morality is totally all but it's gone, almost all but gone. I've seen this little kid, and I've seen this a few times, and I've seen something recently, and someone was making, matter of fact, I believe that was, we have this up here. Anybody that hasn't seen this needs to see these videos, if I can remember exactly. It should be under today's issues, maybe. And where did I put this? I thought I put it in here. No. Oh, maybe, no, I don't remember where it is. But it was, I believe it was, hold on a minute. Amazing Polly. Okay, now Amazing Polly, if you go through and watch, I know her videos are on her website, but you can watch some of it through here. And she makes a good point, and she brings out a case of what children were like going back into the 50s and the 60s, and what children were like, on TV that was, and what children are like today. And how this this young child, can't be much more than 8 or 9 years old, calls himself a drag queen, dresses up with lipstick and makeup, and it's really, really depressing and sad what they've done to this child. They've destroyed this child. This child, this is child abuse. And they're trying to bring that as being the norm. And we see what they offer our children in school, and we see that they take away from our children, which they should be giving them, they've taken away in school. And you rest, you put that up, what Hollywood is doing and what is going on as the narrative and in Hollywood and on TV. I mean, it's constant sex, and a lot of homosexuality, women with women, men with men. I mean, it has really gotten seriously bad. I mean, and you compare that when I was growing up, Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, all these wholesome, the Little House on the Prairie, all these wholesome programs that built a strong moral foundation in a family. It's been totally destroyed. Totally destroyed. And it's going to take a lot of work to fix that. And it's going to take the people to fix that. It's going to take the committees of safety not only to win back their nation, to take back control over their government, and they can do 100% of that, to take out the Bar Association, to take out all of the corruption out of our government, to take control of the judiciary and open back up the courts of law where the people rule. The people rule, not people who are elected or people who are appointed by other elected individuals. No, no. They rule in equity period. They do not rule and should not rule in any court of law, ever. And how often they hijack every single case. I can't tell you how many cases I brought into the state and they hijacked me into the federal courts, refused to tell me what jurisdiction I'm in, puts a judge up there to make decisions, tell them they don't have the authority to do that. This is a court of record. We're looking for a jury. And they throw you out constantly over and over and over and over and over again. And people come with problems and they ask, what they can do, and it's unfortunate. The answer is not much. The only thing you could do is try to preserve your case until we get to the other side. And that's why we have taken lots of cases on. Not that we're answering the case or dealing with their case. We write some paperwork for them, and we try to keep it simple. It's usually basically all about due process and how it's being violated. We warn everybody, let them know. They shut it down, they dismiss the case, and they really don't care, and that's fine. Then we move that case in with our case, because all that is more proof of what we are showing in the courts, the destruction and all the tyrants that are destroying America that are in our courts and in our as elected officials all over the place. And so... We do habeas corpuses for people in certain situations, and we do non-judicial foreclosures, but very, very specific. We can't get into the details. We can't get into the details of anyone's case, but we bring it to the attention of local government, depending on who we have to address. Usually it's a court, and we bring it into the federal court when they deny it, and looking for due process there, and we deny it there, and then we just move it into our archives, and it sits there. When we get onto the other side, we will resurrect all these cases. And people, justice will be met. So it's very difficult to really win anything in the courts. But we will do our best to get some kind of... Sometimes we do get good things. Sometimes we get people who are left alone, particularly with habeas corpus, is even freed or left alone. But that is very, very rare. But it does happen. But it is really appalling really terrible, disgusting, when you bring a case before a federal district judge whose purpose is to champion the Constitution of the United States. That is his one and only purpose. There is none other. To have justice applied. And when individuals go in and they're not getting their due process and they say, they're not giving me my due process, and they're expecting that federal court to command those lower courts to give them the due process. And when they refuse to do it, and they become part and partners with the courts that you're trying to flee from to bring to that federal court, well, then they're part of the problem. And we are doing judgments against, well, not judgments per se, but indictments against these judges, both federal and local level judges. So all of these judges that refuse to obey the Constitution and refuse to give the people their due process and to champion the Constitution, we do and will continue to indict every one of them. We file it up in the Northern District courts. They still have been taking our papers. We have a lot of filing to do. We're kind of behind schedule here, but we'll get them up there. But they have not been throwing them back anymore. They have not been rejecting them or arguing with us or sending us any messages anymore. But we do know that they're hiding the case. We do know that when other judges from other places call up to look around what's going on, oh, there is no case up here. And that's the word we're getting back, the feedback we're getting back. They have taken us off of, they just removed our cases. And that, and again, is a crime, and it just proves our case. That's okay. Let them do it. We have numerous other places that we file our cases. Well, of course, one website is one. And we were filing it with the Attorney General's Sessions and Barr, who, by the way, I truly believe both were good guys. And the whole thing was a game. It's a stage that was set, and there's a reason behind that. But people who aren't aware of that, they need to go back and listen to some of the individuals that we listen to get our news, which the people I listen to and many people from National Liberty Alliance is right under this tab in our news tab here, I believe. Let's see. We have welcome today's issues. Yeah. Goodness, I'm having a little trouble getting around a little bit myself looking for these things, but it's either under today's issues or welcoming. And again, what you'll find is these individuals that I spoke about, for instance, Amazing Polly, X22 Report, Christian Patriot News, Bannon's War Room. I listen to that from time to time. I don't have too much time to listen to Epoch Times, and a few others, Black Conservative, The Patriot, Front Page with Scott Goulet, Crossroads is very good with Joshua Phillips. And again, I don't get a chance to listen to all those every day, but there are certain ones I do make sure I listen to every day. X22, Amazing Polly, and Christian Patriot. I make sure I listen to those three every day. That's my personal choice. And I get a lot of good information from that, a lot of behind-the-scenes information, particularly from those individuals. Some deep, deep research from Amazing Polly. I mean, she is really amazing. Good name for her, Amazing Polly. The research that she has done is just really outrageous. It's great. So anyway, let me just get back to here. We got a mission statement under our welcome. We got the welcome, which is the same thing as the welcome. We have a donation tab, frequently asked questions, joining the Monday night call, NLA foundling, how we were founded, how things came to be. We have some disclaimers for some things that have taken place over the years. And then we have some weekly topics. And the weekly topics, we've been posting up here different things that we kind of break it away from the Monday night programs where we posted the information that we put up. And these are in PDF videos, I believe. I think they are. Let me see if they're videos or if they – oh, no, they're PDFs. Okay. So they're not videos. But we do have a place where we do have videos also. We have topical videos, which I think a lot of that covers a lot of what we played here on Monday nights in different places. I think it's, I think it's under, let me look at the topical. Hang on a minute. Well, I'm not going to get lost there. People should poke around and see what's going on. We put our videos up here that we play on a Monday night sometimes, and they're usually PowerPoint videos. We haven't been posting our videos up on Rumble, but I do want to do that. I'm thinking that if we do stick with a three-hour program, then maybe we'll cut our recording off at 2 hours. Unless, Terry, you think you can divide that. I know there is a way up there, and we can talk about that later. Now, again, education starts here is the key, one of our key tabs that you really want to click on, okay? You click on here, it's a lead-in page on the top. And this lead-in page leads us into the second page. It sets up the courses we have. Now, we do have the foundation study just about done. I'm going to ask people not to go there yet. If you went to the front page, you'll see, do not proceed. This course is under construction. There are some people that are going through this course right now, and I had to leave it open for them to come through it. And they're going to give me some thoughts and ideas, some corrections, and we'll finish it up. By next Monday, I told them we have to have this done by the end of this week, and I'll finish it off next Monday. It'll be up there. Okay. So that foundation study, it's not a course. There are no questions in this. It's just a study going right through. I think it's very powerful. I wish I would have thought of this earlier. This was brought up to me by Ron and Gary. They're on our national leadership here at National Liberty Alliance. They've worked for over a year or two. They've worked for quite some time on this course, putting this thing together. And I have shaved it down a little bit, but they're going back up there to see what else we can add back up that they think I might have taken out and I shouldn't have, and we'll just put that together. But right now as it sits, I think it's a powerful course, and I think by the time we finish it, by the end of this week, I think it's going to really be a powerful course. And it's not a course, it's a study. It is the foundation that people need. And I really think everyone should take this foundational study. Just start it. I think you'll be mesmerized and drawn in. I think you won't be able to shut it off. Okay, that's how powerful I think it is. And it's all videos. Just go through videos, a little bit of reading on some pages, and then videos. And just extremely powerful. And it gives you the proper mindset. It gives you the proper patriotic thinking that we really need to have. It brings us our heart back into this program, and builds a really good foundation, a framework in your mind to be able to go forward on all of our studies, all of our courses then. Now, underneath here also, well, let me get back to the courses here. Let's see, let me go back to start here, because the start here has the courses listed on them also. So we go to the courses, okay? The foundational study, Introduction to the Constitutional Course. And this is just an introductory course. It's nothing heavy, but it gets you familiar with the Constitution, focuses in on some of the most important points, I think, particularly the Bill of Rights and the preamble to the Constitution. Very, very powerful, very important. And of course, the Declaration of Independence. I think there's a lot of focus in those particular areas on this particular course. But again, it's really something to get people familiar with the Constitution. It was never meant to be an in-depth course. Then there's the civics course. The civics course is about 120 hours. It's mostly all videos. There's some audios up there. Powerful, powerful stuff. And we do all these things in a quiz, so you have to come and answer questions at the end of every chapter or every part. And when you get to that, when you check your answers, because it's all drag and drop. The answers are on the right side. You got to just fill in the blanks and drag and drop the words. But if you don't get them all right, and when you go to check it, well, it'll reset up all of the correct answers you have and just leave blank the ones you don't have. So it makes it a little easy for you. And then you have the opportunity to go through those until you get them right. And so correction is right away. And that's how we really should learn. If we get something wrong, we should be corrected right away. And that's the best way to learn. So that's how it is going through the course. And anybody should be able to get through these courses without much of a struggle at all. But it is important to listen carefully to all of the videos, the audios, and read whatever information we have up there. And all of these courses are preparing you for the main course. And that main course ultimately is the jury administrative course. And that's an accredited course, okay, that particular course. Let me just open real quickly to that course. Now, the jury administrators, it's an accredited course, okay. Again, this link isn't available to be found anywhere, but if you do happen to land on this page from some other way, do not proceed, because anything you do is all going to be erased. before the course is actually released, I have to go up and erase everyone that has entered into it and give them a clean slate, and then they can go in and start working. But right now, we're only giving people access in order to give a correction, additions, and so on. But this course here is not an easy course. It is meant to be very difficult. But if you have gone through all of the courses before, you have been really introduced to almost everything that's in this course. So you're really already starting to build up a framework, and a lot of information to stick in your frame here and there. And so when you get to this course and you start reading the pages, a lot of this stuff is going to hit you in the memory, because I've been through a lot of this stuff before. And then we ask a lot of questions. And we ask a lot of questions. We focus in on really most important parts of history that we really think that people need to know, and also on the Constitution. But anyway, this education, let me go back to the page we're on. So we have the civics course, as I was talking about. We have government by consent course. We have the militia course. And then we have the jury administrator course. And again, this link is not working right now. I'm still building that course up, and it's taken me longer than I thought, because I started to realize I need a lot of questions, I need a lot of good questions, and I got to focus in on the important points. And so it's taken me some time with the questions and putting all that together. But it's possible I might be done with this next week. I don't know. It depends on how much time I have to be able to put into this course. But I got a lot of other things going on. Of course, we offer certificates of completion for anybody that wants to get a certificate of completion. Now, the other one that should be done simultaneously, and this is what the website teaches, you need to be doing two things at the same time. You need to be working on a committee of safety, okay, and educating yourself at the same time. Don't think you have to educate yourself to work on the committee of safety. Committee of safety takes a lot of organizing to do. And so you'll have plenty of time. It'll take you months before you can really get your committee of safety up and going, powerful, okay? And those couple of months are important to be spending on education. Because if we think we're going to correct these problems in our nation without an education, without understanding common law, without understanding the court system and how it works, without understanding the political system and how that should be working, and not understanding all the different responsibilities of government and know when they've stepped outside their authorities and jurisdictions, if we don't know those things, then they're going to walk all over us. And that's the problem. I mean, I am just so blown away, okay, just so blown away on the lack of understanding or appreciation from people who are professors, people who hold high positions, and people who are good people, you know, and really are patriots, and they do not understand that we are a republic. I heard Scalia himself speaking as talking about us being a democracy many years back. I've heard many of the other Supreme Court justices, they call us democracies. Okay, we're not a democracy. Democracy is mob rule. Okay, it's two wolves and a lamb deciding on what they're having for dinner. And a republic is a well-armed lamb, rejecting the vote. Okay, I think that was Franklin who brought that up. We are a people of law. We are a people of our law. We, the people, ordained and established this Constitution for them. And that's who we are. We are the lawmakers. We are the people who decide what goes into the courts or not. Right now, we're schnookered. You get a bunch of people, they stack the courts and they schnooker them, okay? They do a psychological on them to discover, you know, how they're going to go on a certain case, and they put them in the proper cases that they want. Then they tell them, because they don't know nothing about the law. They don't know nothing about the common law. They don't know nothing. So the judge comes in and says, hey, you get the judge to decide the facts, but I'll tell you what, I'm deciding the law. And if they broke the law, as I say it to you, then they are guilty and you must find them guilty. That's really playing around with the jury. That's jury tampering. Okay, that judge should be in jail for doing that, in my opinion, because most of these cases that have a jury, usually most of them are, of course, criminal cases, and people's lives are at stake here. But in any event, they have a lot to do with making the decision on the final and how, and they decide what the punishment is. It's never to restore the victim, ever. It's always to pay the payment into the government so they can line their pockets. That's what it's all about. It's all a money game. So they destroyed everything. But we need to understand these things if we think we're going to have government by consent. And if people refuse to do it, we don't have it, and we're not going to have government by consent, and you don't get liberty. You can whine, you can complain, you could do anything, but you're not getting liberty, because liberty is a blessing. And a blessing is knowledge and understanding of who we are as a people. That's what gives us the blessings, realizing that we are a Christian nation, that we should be a morally minded people, and that the king of the court is God himself. And God is not interested in law, he's interested in justice. And that's what he requires the jury to decide. The jury is to decide not what the law says and what is lawful, they're to decide what is just and right. Because a lot of laws just are not just and right at all. As a matter of fact, the laws of men are not to be applied upon the laws of the people, upon the people. Only the law of God is to be applied upon the people. The laws of men is equity. That's applied in administrative courts. That's applied by judges on people who are working commercial activities, involved in commercial activities or illegal commercial activities, or people that are, you know, involved in some kind of an administration. You know, there are 57 codes up there, and each one of these codes applies to different agencies, regulations, statutes, codes for these people to operate under. And we've given the authority to the legislators in Article 1, Section 8 of our Constitution to write those codes for that purpose. But they, too, are to be just and right. They, too, are to be under common law. The rules of the common law is to rule that court as much as it is to rule a court of law. It's to rule a court of equity also. But anyway, these judges just don't know. They say that we are a democracy. Hillsdale College, great place. These people are focused. The guy that's the president there, highly educated. I mean, I sit and listen to him talk about history and many different things. And wow, do I learn so much. But as I'm listening, I can always see that he's failing in knowledge and understanding of the common law constantly. And he and all many other people, at least anyone I've heard coming through Hillsdale College, they too think we're a democracy. That's how corrupt they have made us. That is how far that they have taken control over our lives and our mind. And we call ourselves a democracy. That's why they think that they can argue and debate our Second Amendment and our First Amendment. That's why they think they can get a vote going on this and change that. They've been trying to do it for all of my life. I see they've been trying to, the Second Amendment one especially. They want to get rid of the weapons. The day they get rid of the weapons is the day we fall, you know. And what's going on in our nation today and what I see, different things, but ultimately the same thing, is exactly what Hitler did, okay? And he caused the people to rat on each other. And we're having problems with that right now. We have so many people out there acting like brown shirts. I mean, they are like Nazis. They are out of control. They're sick. They've been psychologically injured, and they're insane. They have gone insane. And it's going to take a lot to bring this nation back, but it's going to take the people who step up, get the knowledge, get involved, and bring this nation back to where it belongs. Therefore, here on Monday night meetings, we from now on want to focus solely and focused on what it is that we are doing. We want questions and on things on how to form committees of safety. Go through the handbook and maybe you have some questions. Maybe you see something missing. Maybe you're seeing something. Hey, why don't you put this in? Don't you think we do that? Let's get some conversation going here and focus in on the things that we are doing. Yeah, the events of the day, we can focus a little bit on that, of course, but we don't want to spend a lot of time on that. We want to get back to the business of taking back this nation, which is to have government by consent, and we need to learn how to have government by consent. And we need to know the common law to do that. We need to understand the court system and how it works. I also decided I'm going to put on the front burner now. I'm going to move. I got two or three things I'm doing right now that I got to get completed. These two courses, or two of those three things, and the fourth thing I want to really push in up ahead is I had put together a rough booklet on chord axis. I want to sit down and I want to go through it. And it always was a rough throw together, and I never felt comfortable, but it is sufficient enough to help people to get into the courts, to write some papers and so on. But I'm going to put a lot of time. I got a lot of information, a lot of papers. I could probably do it in a week or two and pull it together and create another book. I might publish it as a book, or I might just put it up on the internet. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that yet. But I want to give people an understanding of how the court system works and how to get access to it and how to write papers properly and how the court should move along and to recognize a court that is hijacking you and taking you into a different direction. People need to understand how that is happening to them. People don't know, and they walk away scratching their heads. I did, too, for the longest time. But I understand exactly what they're doing now. And I want to get that down and get that information out to people so they can see it. So I'm going to be working on that, too. And again, I do think we're going to push to a two-hour program instead of a three. And that'll work out a lot better for streaming and for people to, you know, sit through that. It might even be better to be able to break the two hours into 2 hours and, you know, have two videos. We'll see. I don't think we're going to do that, but that's something we might think about, part one and a part two. But we're going to see what we're going to do. I'm waiting to get some feedback from Gerard, and I know the national leaders, this is the first they're hearing of it, except one person who brought this to my attention. So we'll be having some discussions in the background on this, where they can bring up their thoughts right here, of course, on the line and in front of the people. I don't care. And let's, you know, work it out and see what we're going to finally decide. I won't make this final decision on my own. I will put it out to the leadership, and Gerard and myself will be part of that leadership, and we'll work this out together. We'll see where the majority wants to go with this. Not that we're democracy, but a lot of things are decided that way, of course. Let's see. There's not much more I want to really go through. These two tabs are the most important tabs. Front page of these two tabs, people should be back and forth on these two tabs. Starting a committee of safety, start here to organize a committee of safety. And this gives you a synopsis of NLA's comprehensive plan to save our republic. So read through this page. Okay, and then after you read through this page, go get the handbook. You're going to find all these things in the handbook and a heck of a lot more, and you're going to see step by step how to bring together a committee of safety. From the very first start, where one person decides to do it, and they get another person, and they meet for coffee, and they start discussing and putting ideas together, going through the paperwork and the plan, getting their ready for their first meeting. Next thing you know, as they're discussing, is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people meeting for coffee or online discussing the plan for their county, the committees of safety. And then finally they say, okay, maybe a couple of weeks of doing that or whatever, and they say, okay, let's have our first meeting. Let's invite the public. Let's get out to as many people as possible. We give a lot of ideas in different places where you can invite people from. You get a hold of your leader. Under our directory, you will find your district leaders. If you click on that, you call your district leader up, and they will give you a list, a name, a county, and a phone number of everyone in your state, everyone. Because you can invite people from other counties, because it is very important to entice other counties to do the same thing you're doing. Because there's power in numbers, and we need 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 more counties of committees of safety working together to get the message out, I mean, to form committees of safety. And because you're going to need many of the counties in order to deal with the state government. Each county is dealing with all the local governments from the county down, village government, state government, I mean, village government, county government, your city governments, your town governments. Okay, all of those different governments that have to be dealt with within your county, and that takes some time. And other counties need to be doing the same thing. Once you have a number of counties working together, and you don't need all of them, if you have a dozen of them, that's enough. And eventually, hopefully, all the counties are going to be, you know, come committees of safety. That's the plan. But you get about a dozen counties that are pretty well on their way, okay? Some could be ahead of others, but they're pretty well on their way. Now you can start tackling on the state level and dealing with your state legislators and dealing with your governor and all of the people that they have appointed and putting them back under the thumb, under the chains, under the Constitution. How does Jefferson put them? Chain them down? Tie them down with the chains of the Constitution, I think he put it, something like that. So that's what we have to do, okay? So people have to work together. You find your district leader here. You give them a call. If you have a problem getting a hold of the district leader, you'll get a hold of Francine or Jan. You can get Francine at nationallibertyalliance.org or Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org. And their phone numbers are also up here in the directory, at least Jan's is. And then they'll find out why that person's not responding to you. And we'll make sure that someone responds to you to get the necessary information you need. And then it's your job to kind of, there's a lot of people that have signed up and were gung-ho, but they've kind of fallen by the wayside. They're listening in the distance, but they're not as involved as they used to be. But it's time to wake them up. And, you know, it took us a long time to grow. We started back at about 2013 as a national level in the National Liberty Alliance. And during that time period, you know, we had to, you know, drive certain things down to people to understand. We built the website over these years. It took time to establish ourselves in every state and every county, ultimately. We've been to every county, not necessarily myself personally. I know I've been in all the counties here in New York and Girard, too, but other counties in some other states. But people who've gotten together and went to different counties in their states, and we hit every county in New York, in the United States, pretty much. I mean, there are places where no one lives. We didn't go there, up in Alaska and so on. But the major cities up there, we got contacts and information up there. Same thing in Hawaii, you know, and of course the lower states, the 48s. But you know, we have to work together, and in order to really take the federal government and put them in their place, you know, we could do a lot of that through the courts, and we can start doing that from the local level by dealing with our congressmen and dealing with our all our elected officials for the federal government. So you can control them from within your counties, because you have a governor, you have a congressman that represents you. And so that's a person you can put back under the Constitution to require them to be obedient to it. And same thing with your senator, but we do intend on we do intend on getting rid of the 17th Amendment, which is repugnant to the Constitution, a destruction of the balance of power, total destruction. We have a paper on that. I think we have a video on that. If we don't, the video is in the making, if it hasn't already been made, on the balance of power. And most of everything that we do for teaching will be in PowerPoint videos, and we'll eventually, if we maybe teach it here, but it'll be up online somewhere on PowerPoint videos, which I think is the most powerful way to learn. And we try to keep everything down around 30 minutes. 45 minutes to max, maybe, but 30 minutes, 25 minutes, 35 minutes. So, you know, it's not too long and it's digestible. Let me see what else I want to bring up before I move on. I see Gerard's here. Gerard, are you ready to take the board in a minute or two? And I see Brent is here. We're going to pass the mic to him in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. I was talking, I don't know if you were here when I was talking about considering moving over to 2 hours. So I'd like people to really think about that. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to see if Ross and Danny are going to want to talk about that. And if not, you know, then they'll go back into the queue, and because they're in the queue right now. And if they don't want to talk about that issue, we'll put them back into the queue and we'll pick them up a little later. But Ross, do you have a question or a comment or something on this too? Yeah, Jan.
I have one question that's come in here that you might want to talk about.
Yeah.
How does one resolve the dichotomy of the jury decides the law and facts of the case with the rule of appellate review? In short, can an appellate court overrule the finding of a common law jury?
The decision of a common law jury is final, and the United States Supreme Court has said on numerous occasions that they can't even overturn it. And that is a fact. They cannot overturn it. They're final. There is no, you cannot go to another court to try to have that thrown out in any way, or some group to go back and say, the jury didn't get it right, or this, that. There is no appeal from the decision of a jury. Now, it is possible that someone's rights was violated in that court case, and if it's brought to the United States Supreme Court, which first you'd bring it, of course, to the Federal District Court, which it is their job to champion the Constitution and recognize, not to overturn what the decision of the jury made, unless that's a necessity because of a violation of someone's unalienable rights. Of course, if that's the case, that's a whole different story. Then it can be. But it is not for them. But again, remember, you know, they don't get to decide the law. It's the people that decide the law. The written law, no matter what it is, okay, that can be overruled by the people at any given time. They are the final decider of the law. So if they try to apply a code or a statute or something in a court of law, whether it be righteous or not, depending on if it's someone that's involved in the commercial activities, or if it's committed some kind of criminal act, or if it's a person that works for a government agency that committed a criminal act, then equity could be applied upon them in a court of law. But the people have the power and the authority to nullify that law. We don't like that law. We don't think it applies here. It doesn't apply to this person, and throw it out. You see, the judges won't let them do that. But no one can second guess the decision of a jury. And again, if a person's unalienable rights was violated somewhere in that court case, that can be resurrected and corrected through the Federal District Court, and the final arbitrator of that, if they get it wrong, of course, goes up the line, and it ends up at the United States Supreme Court. But that's their job, is to champion the Constitution, to make sure people are not injured, that they get their due process, which is one of the most important things. Because that's what gives us our liberty, is to get that due process to prevent us from being abused by our government. What we're going to do is instead of going to Ross and Danny right now, we're going to go over to Brent, and then we'll come back and take questions at that point. Anybody has any questions or comments, *6 and 1 to get into the queue, and then Gerard and I will take some questions. And then we'll decide whether we're going to close early tonight or not. Maybe we'll do the full 3 hours tonight and then start the 2 hours next week. But we'll see what we do tonight. I don't know. If people are in the queue, we'll keep going, I guess. That'll be that on that. But, Gerard, are you ready to take the panel? And
I got it.
Okay. And let me introduce Brent. Brent, you're going to mute yourself. This is Brent Allen Winters. He's the author of quite a few books, one of them being The Excellence of the Common Law, a book that needs to be read. I would say get involved in some of our courses and get his book, and you'll have more appreciation for it. But anyway, his website is commonlawyer.com, and Brent is going to teach us something tonight. Brent, you got the mic, and Gerard, you got the panel. And then we'll take questions.
Again, if I'm being heard.
We're being heard.
But I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Is that the right button?
I'm pleasantly shocked. Man, I don't know what I did different, though. But I was on the phone, too, because I figured it wouldn't work. But this is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. And the question about the jury. When John made the point that the decision of a jury is not overturnable, the appellate courts and the Supreme Courts of the states and the Supreme Court of the United States do not have the jurisdiction to overturn the decision of the jury. And that is the fundamental rule of our common law tradition. And the reason for that is that the jury, in our common law tradition, not the President of the United States, not the governor of your state, not the Congress of the United States, not anybody, not the judge in the case, is lawgiver. Lawgiver. In our English Bibles, we call that God. Well, who's the lawgiver? Well, of course, we know that the maker of all things is the ultimate lawgiver. Ultimate, that means there is no appeal from his decision. There's nobody above him. That's why there's no appeal. He can't appeal up. He's it. He's the court of last resort. Well, that's a fact. But the Bible tells us also, the Savior himself speaking, acknowledges that God is God, capital G, but God has delegated men to men here, down here on land, the function of Godhood, small g, in this sense. And hear me out close and watch me close here. God has delegated to his creature, man, made in his image, the responsibility to be final decider of right and wrong in individual instances down here on land. Now, that doesn't mean they are the true lawgiver, the final lawgiver of the universe, but within the jurisdiction that God has delegated to men, he has told us that the jury is the final lawgiver. And most pronouncedly, I point the listener to the first epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the Credi Corinthians. I call them the Credi Corinthians. Some people call them those two books, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, they call them 1st and 2nd Californians. They were that Credi. But Paul writes to them, and oddly, for all the terrible things they were doing, one man was even bedding his own mother, said Paul the Apostle. He said, I don't even want to talk about that. He was giving them a tongue lashing. But in all of that, curiously, he doesn't recite the law to them. Instead, he says things like this at least a half a dozen times. In different words, he says, I do not have a word from God on this particular problem, but I'll tell you what I think about it. Now, that's significant. Why? Because what he's saying to these cruddy Corinthians is, you have a responsibility that God has delegated to you to make decisions in individual instances. I'm not going to tell you what to do. God has delegated to you the responsibility to learn his laws of nature unwritten and his laws of nature's God written in the Bible and to apply them yourselves. That is the responsibility of the Christian man and woman. No one else has that responsibility because they don't care. God didn't delegate it to them. He delegated it to Christian folk. And Christian folk are the only hope that America has. We are the remnant. We are the Christian folk. And oddly, to the world, we are truly interested in what God says. We talk about it. We think about it. We fight about it. We get ticked off at each other even. That's because we care about it. And that's the way it ought to be. Now, who is it, again, that has the final authority that God has delegated among men down here on land? Appealable, of course, to God, but down here on land, the final authority in individual instances from whose decision there is no appeal is the jury. And again, I cite you in principle throughout the Bible, but specifically to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Now, in the history of our common law, there was a time when people wrestled with this problem about who has final authority in individual instances from whose decision there is no appeal. And they said, well, of course God has delegated such authority to men. Of course the jury, the 12-man jury, is that unanimous. This has to be unanimous. It's not a democracy. A jury is not a majority institution. It's all or nothing. And that body of 12, and we can find nothing in our history to tell us where that number 12 came from, except to say the Bible had an influence. The Bible had an influence, and there's no question that the number 12 in the Bible pervades the pages of that book. 12 tribes, 12 times 12 witnesses at the other end of the Bible. 12 witnesses, 12 times, it comes to 144,000. How many is that? If somebody can tell me, I'm not good with mathematics. But 12 is a big number. 12 stones on the breastplate of the ephod, of the Levite. 12 stones set up. Why did God say 12? A lot of 12s in there, 12 disciples. Why 12? By the way, the 12 disciples, as they're called, the 12 learners, mathetes, it means, well, we get a word math from mathetes. That's the Greek New Testament, written in Greek. It means learner. Math, it means to learn. But mathematics, it's something you learn. That's why we use that word, I suppose. But he chose 12. He grabbed 12 men standing around. To do what? To witness the evidence he presented to them and to deliver a verdict concerning his identity. And they did. And they didn't change their story. They didn't change their tune. And 11 of them were murdered because they wouldn't change their story. The other one, John, died in chains in slave labor on the Isle of Patmos. He says that in the book of Revelation. I, John, on the Isle of Patmos. He was there. He wrote that book while he was in slave labor in a salt mine on the Isle of Patmos. But again, it's 12. Why 12? Well, here's the answer. Because God said so. That's enough to end it. Now, if we can find more out, fine. But nobody's really conclusively said why in our common law tradition we have 12. Well, down here on land, the jury is the final arbiter of right and wrong in individual instances from whose decision there is no appeal. As I said, it's not the John said too, not the Supreme Court of the United States. And our courts have been pretty good. Pretty good. Now, they're just mere men. And you know what old Ryle said, men at their best are still only men at best, and that ain't saying much, but God did delegate the authority. We work at it. And our courts have been pretty consistent in our common law tradition, saying, well, we're not going to touch the facts that the jury decided. And the facts that the jury decided dictate what law will apply. So we're not going to touch that either. No, they've been pretty good. Now, have they been bad, too? Oh, yes, they've been very bad. I have a friend, a very close friend, who tried a case in federal court in front of a fellow named Judge Baker. Judge Baker appointed, Jimmy Carter appointed him. He's left-winger. Been there a long time. Exceedingly friendly, nice fellow. He just doesn't get excited about much. But he made a terrible mistake in this case. A family came to my friend and said, our son just got out of state prison. And he died shortly thereafter because the last 180 days he was in state prison. The state of Illinois would not give to him the medication he required for his disease, which was hepatitis something or other. It was a bad one. Well, three other families came to him and said, well, we heard that this family came to you and our boys all died too, because the state of Illinois, no, they didn't all die. One, that one of them died later, but the state of Illinois withheld medication that they were required to have for their disease for the last 180 days they were in prison. And the ones that didn't die, there was one that didn't die, or no, one didn't die, two died, one didn't die, and then he had terrible complications, he may be dead by now. The other one died during the appeal, so they filed wrongful death actions. The jury granted $2 million apiece, a total of $8 million. What's a man's life worth? The jury gave $2 million apiece, $2 million for each one of those boys, to their families, for the boys, if they were alive. I thought, well, what's a man's life worth? $2 million, that's really not enough. Not like the state of Illinois can't afford to waste money. They all do, you know. Well, Judge Baker, in his infinite wisdom, struck out the $2 million and reduced it to $20,000 per released inmate. He appealed it, of course, to the Seventh Circuit. Seventh Circuit came back and upheld it. Said it was fair. I don't call it fair. I don't even call it unfair. I call it murder. They murdered those boys. And those that have never been to prison can never comprehend how murderous it is to be in such a place and how people die. And all the talk you hear about, oh, they got three squares a day. Do they? Yes. Oh, no. They got something to eat three times a day. I won't say it's three squares. The guards often are stealing the best food out of the freezers. A lot of places they don't get anything for breakfast but a piece of sugar cake. Eggs and bacon aren't on the menu. And then if you're a diabetic and you require two shots a day of insulin, you get one. If you require one shot a day, according to the doctor, you don't get any. They just say you can control it with your diet. Well, that's possible in some cases, but people die in prison. I don't care how nice people say they have it. It's a mean, ugly, dirty, dangerous place. And I suppose a few of these judges go to prison for 3 months, they'd have a taste of it. They might understand what they're doing. They don't understand what they're doing. It's not possible. Well, this thing about jury not being overturned, there is a caveat in that, though. It is the rule, the fundamental rule, that no court, no upper court, has the authority to overturn the verdict of a jury. And there is an exception, and the exception is this: if due process was not followed. If the court did not follow due process, then the jury verdict is overturnable. Our Constitution even says that, point blank. And the verdicts of the jury, or the facts, won't be overturned unless according to due process of law. In other words, if due process isn't followed, the jury verdict will be thrown out. Now, I've seen that happen, by the way. You know, try the case and the people that are convicted hire a private investigator to interview the jurors. They interview the jurors, and the jurors say, well, I did this or I did that, or they tell them something that wasn't according to proper form or due process, and bring an affidavit to the judge, you'll throw the case out. That does happen once in a while. I was in a case where it did happen. So that is the caveat. And the famous quote of Justice Holmes of the U.S. Supreme Court, that the jury, he's speaking about our juries, the jury at common law, has authority and power to bring in a verdict, and here's the famous words, in the teeth of both the law and the fact. It doesn't make any difference. And by the way, the jury is not obliged to give any reasons for why they do what they do. They don't have to say anything if they don't want to. don't have to justify it. Now, when we say that they're judges of the law, by the time they decide the facts, the law should be foregone. But if, in other words, it should be a settled matter. We know a law applies. But if we don't, they still are masters of going against whatever law is presented to them. Now, the judge will give jury instructions. And in those instructions, he'll say, well, if you found that the defendant did this, then you must rule this way, or you must give this verdict. Now, the judge will say that. But the judge isn't the final word here. And the judge isn't the one that makes the decision. So the jury can bring in the verdict in the teeth of the judge's instructions and say, well, we don't agree with you. Yes, that's true. And that should not be overturned. Now, there was the way this all came to the forefront was over 225, 30 years ago. And it was with a criminal case. Justice Mansfield, a Scotsman by the name of Murray over in England, they got in a big fight after the case was over, him and another judge named Anderson, I believe. No, Andrews. Got in a big fight over whether the jury had the power and the authority to judge the law and the fact both, or whether they just had the power. Well, if they just have the power, how can you have power in our common law tradition without authority? You can't. Now, in the rest of the world, they claim that power is the badge of authority. In our common law country, we say that authority is the badge of power. And might does not make right. That's two synonyms that for the same thing. Might does not make right, as it does in the rest of the world. That is their official doctrine in the rest of the world. Under the law of the city, might makes right. Our official doctrine under the law of the land, our common law, is right justifies might. So Mansfield said that the jury has the power but not the authority. And Andrews said that's silly. There is no power without right, without authority. And there is no lawful power, I should say. For example, all these judges all over the country saying, you got to wear a mask because I said so. Do they have the power to enforce that? In many ways, yes. But do they have the authority? No. No. Oh, they got power to fine people for not shutting down their businesses or not wearing a mask. They got that power. But it's not legitimate power. It's not lawful power. There's a lot of power out there. It's not lawful. But we in America demand authority. Show me where it gives, where law, something on the book someplace, gives you the authority to bust into my house without a warrant. See, that kind of thing. And we here in America say you can't do that. Again, the rest of the world, that's their law. Yeah, the government can do that. Well, just a point about the jury now, beware. I'll end with this. Beware. What courts are doing now, they're bringing the jurors in and they're telling them that they must take an oath. That means to swear that they will follow the instructions of the judge given in the case. Now, people have asked me about that, and I advise people to go ahead and swear. There's nothing wrong with swearing to something you have right to trust in and be true. You have every right to believe and every justification to believe that the judge will instruct you fairly and properly. Now, watch me here. This is something that came up during the Reformation when Roman priests were leaving their offices. They had taken a blood oath, and they knew they risked being murdered if they left their office. but they left, some of them. And the question was, watch this. The question in those days was the oath that they took to never leave, that vow of poverty and all the rest of it, never getting married and swearing off of sex for the rest of your life when you're loaded for bear with sex, which is a stupid thing to do, by the way. That's why Paul the Apostle says it's better to marry than burn, because that's what you'll do. You'll burn up from the inside out. Let's get down to the bottom here and think about what's really happening. Anyway, these men, they still do it today. It's crazy. They take an oath, a blood kind of an oath, poverty, chastity, all that. Well, they were leaving, and the question was, if the oath was unlawful that they took, were they obligated to keep it? See what I'm saying? If the oath is unlawful, are you obligated to keep it? In the book of Acts, there were a gaggle of Jews that took, it says this in the book of Acts, that took a blood oath. That means they slit their fingers or something, or their hands, and they wrote their name in blood, and they swore that none of them would eat or drink until they had murdered Paul the Apostle. That's what they said. Now, is that a lawful oath? Does a man have a duty to follow through on an oath that he knows or has discovered, maybe didn't know it before, discovers is unlawful? It's lawless? Listen, if you have every right to assume the judge in a case, if you're a juror, will instruct you correctly. I tell people, take the oath. Take it. Because if it turns out, and you're in the driver's seat once you're a juror, if it turns out that you have decided from all the evidence you've heard and all you heard in the trial that the judge is wrong, you don't have an option of disregarding your oath. You have a duty at that point. Those that took a blood oath to murder Paul the Apostle, had a duty to disregard their oath, make a clean breast of the conspiracy, and get out, because it's a crime. Yeah, they had a duty to disregard it. And this, in the same way, a juror has a duty to disregard his oath once he discovers, if he discovers, maybe he will, maybe he won't, discovers that the judge did not instruct him correctly. That's the beauty of our jury system, but it's downright scandalous that courts would require that kind of an oath. The boys ought to be horsewhipped for that. That's a violation of their oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. But they're doing it. They're doing it. So when it happens, be ready. Know what you're going to do if you're called to jury duty. Well, by the way, then, starting on the 3rd of February, one day after Groundhog Day, we commence our class on the grand jury, 12 weeks long, meeting once a week on Thursday mornings. And I'm going to talk about the jury in there, too. I want to do them together. First, I said grand jury. I said, no, got them to do it. I'll do them together. And you can get the book on the jury, The Common Lawyer Comments. Go to commonlawyer.com, and you'll find the book there and how to obtain a copy. You'll also find there how to join the class. Please join the class. Sheriff Darleaf has agreed to take time, his valuable time. He's sheriff for almost 18 years. He's taken his valuable time to co-teach the class with me and be there. He did that with the sheriff's class. And that, by the way, you can still sign up for that class. It's evergreen. We recorded all of them. You can see me and you can see Sheriff Dar, but we can't see you. But you can go listen to all those. You can still get them at commonlawyer.com. And this is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com. I'll turn it back over to Gerard, who has the board. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Brent. By the way, it's 12 times 12,000. It's 144.
Thank you, Gerard. I knew. Did you do, you know, that's right. Did you do good in arithmetic in school?
No, I was terrible. I was very good in reading and comprehension. I was horrible in math. I had, because I was dyslexic.
That's kind of me.
You know.
I don't mean a man's dumb, but you can book the number. Okay, 12 times, yeah, the 144,000 in the book of Revelation you're talking about then, right?
Yeah, well, to which you were speaking, yep. And I just pulled my calculator yep. out on the yep. computer.
you could have talked all day and not said that, and I would have thought you were smart.
There's lots of ways of being smart.
Oh.
And here's another
yeah.
thing. He opened his mouth to there I go. I do the same thing then.
Yeah.
Remove all doubt. That's what I was looking for. Open his mouth to remove all doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, before we move on any more, anybody else wants to get into the queue? A star 6 and a 1? We only got two people in the queue. Star 6 and a 1. Back to you guys.
And also, another factoid, and one of these days I'm going to find out where it came from. But I was reading, and it was one of the institutions of higher learning did a study, you know, they studied probabilities and all these other things, and they studied the 12-man jury system, and I think it was done many number of years ago, like maybe even back in our forefathers' day, but I can't swear to that. They said when you have a 12-man jury, they calculated that the risk of being falsely accused is like 0.005. And as they remove jurors from that pool, it goes exponentially higher. So much so that when you get down to 6 jurors, it gets up almost to a 50-50 chance of an unjust conviction. So that's just that number 12, for some reason, seems to be blessed with something. So I just wanted to mention.
I'm glad you did. I had not heard that. And if you know where you got that information or ever remember it, please drop me a message and tell me.
Yeah. It's kind of a neat fact, you know. And I should I should verify it. But I know I was reading something. And I got one of these memories. I don't forget things that I read, but I forget where I read them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we'll get moving on. I'm going to open up Ross because he's number one in the queue there. Go ahead, Ross. You've been unmuted.
I've seen you guys unmute.
I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you get closer to your mic or something?
You can't hear me now?
I can, but you're very low for some reason. I don't know if anybody else has the same problem.
Okay. I asked you about on-the-job training for the jury administrator.
Say that again. The job for grand jury administrator, what about it?
Something about the jury administrator. What was that, Ross?
On-the-job training.
Yeah, on-the-job training. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, Pete, right
where I
now.
Can get,
go ahead.
What? Where I get the on-the-job training for that?
Okay. Well, on-the-job training is when the jobs open up that we can take such positions. Right now, we can't take such positions, so we should be moving forward in our education to prepare for those decisions, those positions. It would be unjust for us to teach people to things to do to get into this process, and they're not learned. So they have to be learned, they have to be qualified, and we did put together a very, I think collectively all of our courses really work together to really focus back in on the final course, which is going to be a very difficult course, and people are going to struggle with it. They need to struggle with it, but you can get through it as long as you stick with it. And just be diligent, you'll get through it. But once you get through it, and once you struggle with it, and again, these other courses before that final course, Okay, these other courses will help to really build up. Somebody's making a lot of noise. Who's doing that? Is that you, Ross? There's some brushing or something coming through. But anyway.
Oh, I'm walking. Yes.
He's walking.
You can hear me now?
I can hear you. So anyway, these other courses will really prep you for the final course. Because what I'm saying is you'll be familiar with a lot of the subject matter that's going to be in that final course. And that is important so that when you go through the final course and you struggle with it, I think you're going to be helped a lot by the fact that you took the other courses and the foundational study. You took all those first and then whatever, you know, there's some things that are in that course that is not that you haven't learned before. So there's a lot of new things in there, too. But by the time you get through it and struggle with it, you should understand pretty much what's going on. Look, to be able to articulate, to express what you learn in the courses, that requires people spending a lot of time. And of course, we expect people to spend a good deal of time and be able to really retain quite a bit, really. But to really retain a lot of this stuff, it depends on how much you want to stick into it. But people who are becoming administrators, they need to really stick a lot of time into these things and review things and constantly be educated because you need to have that proper mindset or thinking, a just thinking, shall I say. Because common law, ultimately, is that which is just and right. And, common law is really built up of maxims. And maxims are truths that cannot be denied. And truths are self-evident. I mean, you know, we have, there are eight truths, really, eight biblical truths that build the Declaration of Independence. And those biblical truths are brought back into the Constitution itself through the preamble, at least most of them are through the preamble of the Constitution. So there are biblical truths. And they're logical truths, they're self-evident truths, and they cannot be denied. So, but in any event, you know, we have to get as familiar with the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of our law, the covenant we made with God, the Bill of Rights, which is the crown or the capstone of the Constitution. It is part of the Constitution, of course.
Yes.
And we have to really... really, you know, get educated well as far as having that one position as the administrator. And we have to correct each other, and we have to be able to accept correction. We have to keep each other in line, so to speak, and we need to listen to each other. I'm talking about the four or five people in that administration within that county. They need to really work together powerfully strong. And constantly correct each other.
John, I am struggling to organize the community safeties because I don't know anybody in Clackamas County, not from National Liberty Alliance, just people outside of National Liberty Alliance.
Well, did you get a list of any people yet? Have you tried to contact anyone that might be in your county or counties nearby? You want to try to also talk to people local. Can I have a drink of that, Gerard? Can you pour me a cup?
I do. They contact Dennis in Multnomah County. So I need people in my county will also help me organize the community safety.
Well, absolutely. But if you get people from other counties working with you, that's good too, because they'll help you build your committee and you can help them build their committee and work together. And it's important to really create a relationship with the other county committees of safety. You're going to find a lot of problems that'll work out when you work together. You know, and collectively throughout your state and, you know, ultimately throughout your state, which involves all of your counties, in order to really reel in the control on the federal level, you know, you have to deal with your congressman. And you know, everybody has, you know, there are so many congressmen within the states and each county committee each county is affected by, you know, one representative or another. So.
You guys have any people in Washington County, or members of National Liberty Alliance?
Well, get a hold of the district leader, and they'll give you a list, and you'll see if anyone is in that county.
That's John, where I have problems.
John,
yeah.
I already looked up Ross's counties, the four counties that he mentioned. Washington County has one NLA member. Clackamas has two members. One of those is Ross.
Right.
The other two surrounding counties has three and one person each. So, long story short, there are very few NLA members in Oregon.
Okay. Well, what you want, are those counties close to each other?
Yes, they're all four together.
Okay. You know, Ross, let me suggest this. You try to make contact with these people and suggest to them, if they've kind of fallen asleep, why don't you go out and read the front page in NLA, and I'll give you a call back in a week or so, and watch the videos, and you'll get a really better picture of what we're doing here at NLA. And then you try to get back to them in the following week if they accept that proposal. But basically, if you got four or five people, even though they're in three or four different counties and you're working together, it doesn't matter which county you do first. Just do whatever county you can agree upon and say, and you invite people from all the counties, all four counties. You try to find a central location and you invite people from all four counties. And you think of all the different liberty groups that are involved in each one of those counties. There's many, many different liberty groups in a lot of counties throughout the United States. And there's just different groups you can approach. There's the Rod and Gun Clubs that you can approach, okay? So there's a lot of people you can approach and invite. But you have to plan it. So if you have five or six people planning it and they're working in four counties and you find a central location to do all four counties, that's great. That's where you begin. And then, you know, you get enough people coming from your county, then you can kind of break back into your counties. But you can still work together as much as you can, and you want to communicate. And that's what the purpose of the Committee of Correspondence is all about, to communicate between the counties. That's the job of the Committee of Correspondence.
Yes, because I have talked to one of your members in Montgomery County, and he says he is willing to help me. He says not a lot of people have any backbone to stand up against the government in Oregon.
Well, that's where you start, with that one individual. You got someone that sounds like they really want to consider and do something. Make sure you ask them, how long has it been since you've been out on LLA? Have you been coming to the Monday night meetings? And especially if they say, well, it's been a while, say, look, Go to the front page, because, you know, right now it's very clear on what our mission is. You know, we have developed to a point, and we've been able to express that in our front page. And tell them, get some time, go to the front page, and let's talk in a week or so. Let's meet for coffee, or you can meet online, or however you want to talk. And then eventually, you know, you can bring a friend in, another person here, another person there. You get three or four people talking, and you start working on that. It may take you a month of just spending time talking and planning before you even decide to create the first, have the first seminar, let's call it.
Yes, I think right now I'm talking with him over the phone right now, because we haven't figured out a central location, and he said we need to probably do it in a location that the government will come in and arrest us.
Yeah, you're not going to have a problem with that. But, you know, look, I would suggest probably the best places to hold a meeting would be in one of your local Rod and Gun Clubs, because you can go to those people. Are generally, they're very protective about the Second Amendment, so I'd kind of talk a little bit about that. And talk with these people and see what they're thinking. What are they seeing? The problem with government and what's going on? Are they concerned about it? You're going to get a positive answer. A negative answer about the problems, of course, that there are problems, but it's going to be a positive answer to the point that we need to do something. And so then you can ask them, can we use your place? We'd like to talk to your people, invite people from outside, and see what we can get going to do something about this problem, because we have a plan. Why don't you go out to National Liberty Alliance, look at their front page, watch the videos on the front page, and let's talk in a week and see what you think. See, that's the approach I think you would want.
Yes. you guys have any names of the any gun clubs in Clackamas County or Multnomah County, anything like that?
No, that you'd have to Google yourself, but you can Google that. I found numerous in my county just by Googling riding gun clubs here.
Well, we used to meet up a lot. Remember, John? And we scheduled meetings on Meetup.
Meetup has become a little bit of a problem, and they shut me. They didn't. I don't know that they shut me down. I can't get in to my Meetup, and they don't have a phone, and that's disturbing. Okay, and we do need some kind of an online program to control, the information, send out emails, get information out to everybody. Meetup is a perfect program, so I'm waiting to hear back from these people. But we did have one person, I guess they mentioned militia possibly, and they were shut down because of militia. And when I have time, we're going to do something about that because we can't let that stand. But right now, the meetup groups, you can still go out to meetup.com, and you can kind of click on different groups that are local to you. You can contact the leadership of that group, and you can, because you'll find patriotic groups there. And you can tell them about the program at National Liberty Alliance. Get back again. It gets to the same thing. Get a conversation going. Don't spend too much time with them the first time. Basically, to give them a little bit of information on what you're trying to do, and suggest, why don't you go out to NLA, watch the videos on the front page, read the pages, and I'll give you a call next week. And then you make a plan. You know, is Friday good? And if not Friday, how about Sunday? Can I call you? Whatever. Just work a time to call that person back. Now you've put them under the pressure to go look if they're agreeing with you. And so hopefully when you get back together, they'll hopefully have come out and looked and decided that they want to do something to save this nation, because we have a problem.
It's Rodden and Gun Club, you say?
Yeah, Rod and Gun Club, R-O-D and Gun Club, you know, for fishing rod. Rod and Gun Club.
How about, like,
there's veterans groups.
Retiring groups.
That's good, too. Yeah, that's really good, because I'll tell you why. The retiring groups that are active in things, they're looking for things to do, and they see the problems more than the younger people do. And if you approach them, I think they'll be very responsive to this.
Okay.
So that's great ideas. You got a lot of good ideas. Run them down, and then you know what? Whatever works and whatever your experiences are over time, you can come back and share that with us, and that'll hopefully encourage other people and give other people other ideas.
Yes.
Don't we have the video on the Edgar County Watchdogs, too? That's usually pretty good for getting people to come to something. They get excited when they see that.
There's a couple of ways you can run your first meeting needs to be something more than just a meeting, you know. If you go to our front page, for instance, let me get to the front page. I think I'm still sharing. Yeah, I am. You go to our front page, and this is the seminar, Government by Consent. Now, it is possible, first of all, if you really want to just play this, because it has a breakdown within the hour. It's got that video in it that you got with the that group of people. What state were they in? That group of people that went and did something and got a lot of people thrown out of government and so on, Gerard. Do you remember?
I don't remember the state particularly.
They're from Illinois.
Illinois. So there you got, we got that in here. But we've broken this down so that we have a page here. You can go and put up whatever videos you want, or we're also making available PowerPoints so that you can speak them out if you want. But we'll break them into, we broke them into videos, and you know, so that you can play whatever ones you want, however you want it. But the two videos you're going to want to really focus in, one's a video, which is probably best to be left as a PowerPoint video, and that is Introduction to the Committee of Safety and How Our Founding Fathers Used It. That one should be played out directly. The second one is a video, PowerPoint video, that you can either do the PowerPoint yourself, or someone who wants to, you know, speak it out can do it, or they can play the video. And then there's a couple of short videos that you want to play that are helpful.
Yes, you said meetup.com?
Meetup.com, yeah. If you go there and you put in your zip code, I think it is, and they'll give you a lot of different groups. You can search it out by type. for instance, patriotic group, a veterans group, and you know, those are the retirement group, rod and gun club group. What were you saying, Gerard?
Constitutional groups.
You know, 9/12 groups, Tea Party groups. There may still be some of those hanging around. I wanted to say one thing.
We had the benefit when we first started. We had a lot of people that knew how to use Facebook, and I always hated Facebook. I resisted it. Facebook is really bad. I'm advising anybody to get off it, to boycott it. It's getting real bad with Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse. You know, this virtual reality world he's creating. But we have new things out that you can use, Telegraph? Is that what it is? That's one that you can post stuff on. They don't seem to be censoring on there at all. And then when Trump's new thing comes out, you'll be able to use that too. I don't like Facebook because, first of all, they're going to put you on a list, and then they're going to come looking, you know, to make trouble with you. And that's just a given. So I would stay off Facebook.
Should you think about cryptocurrency, anything about that? You guys agree with it or disagree with it?
Well, I disagree 100% with it because it's backed by nothing. And anything ever that was brought up backed by nothing fails. That's my opinion. If you want to, you want something with some value, gold and silver is your best protection. And there are other precious metals, but of course gold and silver is what's mentioned in the Constitution. And that's the only thing that ever worked. Okay, anything else always fails. There's nothing else out there. You go back through history, it just fails. You know, it has to have something of value behind it. It can't just be something created out of nothing.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Josh.
Okay.
Good points. Thanks.
Okay. The next victim.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ross. We'll see
Danny's
you next
there.
Danny from Wisconsin. Go ahead.
Anybody else wants to get into the queue? *6 and 1. We only got a couple people. *6 and 1.
Is my mic level okay?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay.
It's 11:01. So if we quit in 2 hours, you'd be quitting now. Okay.
<Yeah. laughs> Before I get to my comment, I'm just going to add a little bit more to share with Ross. I've just, in the process of started 2 community safeties, and I have 2 more in the works. And what John said is really good. In fact, I did my first one in my county at a rod and gun club. But one of the things I want to impress upon you, besides everything else, is everybody that you invite, make sure you impress upon them to invite any other like-minded people they know to the meeting. When I had our first meet, and also, as John said, get people from neighboring counties. When I did my first meeting, which we did have a number of people from other counties, that's how I'm getting to try and start 2 more of them, but I would say of the people in my county that were there, I would say somewhere between a quarter and a third of them, I did not invite. They were invited by other people that I invited. And we had certainly over 90% of the people at our first meeting for my county joined our committee of safety. So make sure you invite and have people invite other people.
That's a good suggestion.
And that's exactly how you really grow. If you get a group going and you got 20 people, let's say, that are involved in this, then it's up to every person to try to bring one person to every meeting that comes up, usually monthly meetings. I mean, in the beginning, you might want to do it every 2 weeks, maybe for a couple of times until you get something developed. But however you want to do it. But the point is, if every person can bring one person every single meeting, and let's say half of the 20 people were able to bring one person, so you got 10 people, and let's say 90% of them come on, so you know you got 9 people more, and now you have 29 people, and everybody tries to bring a person. Maybe 15 people are able to bring a person next time, and again, you know, 90% of them join, so you got another, what, 9 and 3 or something, 3.5 people, if you can get that, or 4, whatever that number is. You know, the generally speaking, you can start building your numbers up pretty quick. Once you get to about 150, you're probably good at the average. I'm talking 200 people is really a really good place to get to, if you can get to in a quick time. But even if it takes a long time, but I think what you're going to find over time as it becomes popular and you really start solving problems and taking control of the government from the local grassroots, and people are bringing problems to you and they're being solved, and the word is getting out, I think you're going to have 300, 400, 500. You're going to have a lot more people getting involved, more than you'll ever need, okay? And that's the key thing about this whole thing, really what makes it right and just, is because we are the true committeemen in the committees of safety. And we should not be elected and controlled by statutes. We should not be elected and reduced to a certain number. No, we should have as many people as want to participate. We have government not by the majority, but the majority that participates. And if you even get 150 to 200 people in your county, you overwhelm the existing committee of safety that's statutory, not the committee of safety, the committeemen, that's a statutory process, and they're going to fall apart. And you're going to find a lot of those people, when they become aware of you, if you can get them to the meeting, and they're going to come over to you and get away from the statutory process and come to where the real action is happening, where the people are really taking control of their government and doing things and controlling their schools and the education and taking back, you know, this educational process that our children have been given. So, you know, there's power in numbers, obviously, but I think it's going to grow real quick and very large in every county as it goes. We just have to get them started.
You know, if you do proactive things like that Edgar County Watchdog Group, if you're out there serving these boards that are breaking the law, these school boards, these town boards, all these committees that they put together that they use to usurp our rights, that's what makes a spark in your community. If you learn how to do notices of liability and get them notices of liability, things like that, people are going to notice that, and they're going to want to join with that because they feel like there's nothing that they can do. So these are things that you can do where you're actually serving these government officials' papers. You got to just start acting like the Committee of Safety. Now, when we first started, John, we had 3 counties together.
Green Columbia, County, Dutchess County, and Columbia. Yep.
Right, together. Now, the problem with that, I'm going to tell you, because we ran into this, I know this personally, is that your sheriff is a political animal, and he cares about the constituents in his county. And the sheriff came out to one of our meetings. They used to watch us because we had quite a group there for a while. We were getting pretty big. And any political guy that doesn't look at a couple hundred people together, he's crazy, because in a county, that's the election.
That's exactly who gets them onto the ticket, period.
Right, right. So they started coming to our meetings, and I never forget, he said, "How many people live in my county?" he wanted to show a hands. I was going to tell him, "Raise your hand anyway," but, you know, it's like, because he's a political animal. So if he's only got 2 constituents there, he's going to relax as far as what they want, because the other ones aren't from his county. They don't affect his the vote for him. So that's just a warning to the wise.
The other thing is the sheriff's going to realize he doesn't have to kiss the ring of the county chairman, because here he's coming to the people who are the regular people, who are not asking for favors, who are not requiring things or anything or any control over him, other than the fact is obey your oath, honor your oath.
The other thing you got to be careful with is with the local committeemen, is if they think you're popular and you're getting people on, they will come in to join you and infiltrate you. You have to watch that. You know, you'll get...
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be too hard to see those people.
No, I don't either, because I think as times get worse here and people get more disgusted, I think it's going to be very much easier to move ahead with a Committee of Safety.
Well, I think it'll be more of people interested in seeing what's going on coming over, and they'll be sold, you know, what we're doing and leave what they're doing. If the party bosses get a concern, they come over. Yeah, they may try to sabotage something because, look, there's money in it for these people. That's why they're in the game.
Yeah,
they're,
remember the guy with five gold rings on his fingers?
Yeah.
And the style hairdo?
Yeah.
He was the Don, I tell
mafioso,
you. Spot him a
yeah.
mile away. Yeah. But anyway, that's what that.
Everybody was coming in kissing his ring. Why? Because he was the county chair, the most powerful individual. Look, there is no most powerful individuals in the committees of safety. The chairman is just the guy with the hammer, and you can get rid of him by popular vote anytime you want. And maybe you might make a rule. Why don't we shift the chairman every 6 months or every year if that's what you want to do? But the secretary I would maintain as a constant because usually the person who takes that job has certain skills and you're looking for people with secretarial skills to be able to handle that. The treasurer, you know, not so much so. The chair and the co-chair, not so much so. So you can make a decision. You definitely, and we wrote this into the paperwork as far as some of the decisions with resolutions, and that is that the chairman does not have any more power or authority to refuse something from coming to the floor or anything. He's just one of the people with one of the votes, just like everyone else, and everybody needs to be heard, and he doesn't have any more power or authority than anyone else. He's just the guy to make sure, it's like a traffic cop, making sure order is held and they move from one person to another and everybody gets their ideas and thoughts out and make decisions and your votes.
Okay.
Unlike how the other system works.
All right.
Do I have the floor again?
Yep.
Yes, go.
And one more thing, Ross, to add to what John said, we adopted our organizing meeting to try and everybody invite one new guest every meeting. And after our organizing meeting, we had about 35 members, and we've now had one meeting since then, and we're up to 51 members.
Wow, that's great news.
At any rate,
see, anybody who accomplishes things like that, when you get time, you need to get onto the mic and tell us about it. It helps other people. It gives people ideas. It gives people that sense of, well, we can do it too. You know, it's just great to hear good news that when you're constructing your committees of safety. But go ahead, Danny, back to you.
Yeah, well, my comment, you asked about 2 hours or 3 hours. And for me, I mean, I'm not retired. I still work full time. I run a business, and I, at this point in time, I'm attending 5 NLA meetings a week: 2 on mm-hmm. Monday, 2 on Tuesday, and 1 on Wednesday. And I get up at 5:15 in the morning. So for me, not that you always have great content here, but last hour, I don't always even make it through the last hour because I got to get to bed.
Right, and me too. I was talking with Gerard, and Gerard feels the same way too, that, you know, we got to get to bed. We got things to do in the morning also. But I'll tell you what, I really am feeling very strong about a two-hour meeting. I'm going to see what the leadership feels like, and we'll just have to, you know, I have to govern myself so I don't hog up too much of the time and make sure, you know, we get, of course, Brent in and then Gerard in, and we just spend our time doing whatever we have to do, answering questions or sharing something. I'm always going to try, once I get through, I got a lot of work to do. Some, I may not be doing much in the way of teaching too much, but soon I will get back to that point and try to keep it down like Brent gives it down to about 15 or 20 minutes, you know.
And if anybody has questions on forming committee of safety, you can email me. I just ask that you put committee of safety in the subject line, or I probably won't even look at it necessarily if I don't know who it's from. So I'm more than glad to share what I know.
Do you want to put your email address out there? Or?
Yes. My email address is doc, D-O-C, at beardchiropractic.com. BEARDCHIROPRACTIC.com.
All right. If you're done, thank you very much.
Yep, I yield.
Go to the next person. But before we go to the next person, I just realized something. We've been holding a Tuesday meeting, and I definitely can't hold it tomorrow because I got to go to traffic court. They called me up. They've been holding me off for a long time because I won't go in with a mask on. Now they're going to do it outside. I guess they want to get rid of me.
Yeah.
So I got to go to traffic court on Tuesday, and so they'll probably make me the last person. They want me there at 6:30. I probably won't be seen till 9. But in any event, I won't be here tomorrow for an open forum on the committees of safety. But I'm thinking of canceling that, mostly because I got a lot of work, and let's do that on Monday. That's what I want. I want to talk about the committees of safety because this is what we do. This is government by consent, and inside that committee of safety, we talk about the judicial process, how we take control, how we have take control of the courts through being the administrators for the grand jury to bring the common law back in there, how the political process is taken back under control by the true committee men, which is the committees of safety, and the different subcommittees that are in there, the committee of correspondence, the educational committee, the militia committee. I mean, all these committees, and there'll be committees that you'll create. Hey, we need a committee for this, and you'll have enough people to do it if you keep growing and doing. And you take the more you grow, the more committees you have, the more people are active, and everybody has a job to do. Yeah, they're coming to a meeting maybe once a month. That's 2 hours out of their life, possibly, let's say. And during that month, they have to perform certain things and get certain things accomplished. Maybe it's another hour or 2 hours worth of work, maybe some phone calls or visiting something and doing something and then coming back to the answer to report back to the committees, whatever it is that you had to do. But many hands make light work. And so we can all afford, I don't care who you are, what you're doing, you can afford to take out of your life 4 to 5 hours a month, okay, to do the business of the people, which is government by consent. It is our duty to do that. And if we refuse to do that and deny ourselves doing that, then we don't deserve liberty. We will not have it unless we're active. We will not have a government that is just unless the people are just. And they make their government just by bringing them under control and consenting to what it is that they're doing. Okay, back to you, Gerard. I guess the next person.
Okay.
Thank you, Danny.
Can I one more thing then, John? After that,
sure.
If you're not going to have the Tuesday night meeting tomorrow, I did give an update on what I've been doing committee safety wise at the leadership call earlier. If you'd rather I do that on Monday, or if you're not going to do Tuesdays, I can certainly do that either tonight or next Monday, whatever you'd rather.
Right. Yeah, I think it was you that mentioned that you were going to bring some people for that to the Tuesday night meeting. Was that you? Well, maybe that
no,
was.
No, I wasn't talking about bringing people to it.
Okay, I know somebody wanted to for the Tuesday night meeting. We're going to bring some people, some new people or people involved in trying to work on committees of safety to have some questions. I don't remember who it was, though. But, okay, Danny, thanks.
Thank you, Danny. I just want to mention one thing before I go to Charlotte from Hawaii.
And by the way, Gerard, do you have time to do that tomorrow, maybe? If you want to pick up the Tuesday night meeting, at least for the last one.
What time is it? What time does it go off?
7:15, I think we start, and we go 7:15. We go 1 hour.
Right.
To 8:15, right here in the room.
I would say yes, but it depends on the weather and what I'm doing. I mean, I didn't get in here tonight until almost 8 o'clock before I got done outside. You know, so
right.
I could definitely. Let's just say it's on, and I'll do my best to make it.
Right.
Tomorrow's Tuesday, right? Yeah, I got a Wednesday thing. Yeah, so 7, I gotta be in here by 7 probably to make it on time, right?
Yeah. Francine, are you going to be at a meeting tomorrow if he tries to open up?
Yes, I'll be there.
Okay,
and
so if he doesn't show up, he can apologize for you.
Yeah, you say that bum. I just wanted to mention something that it's a story that I use when I'm talking to people, and it seems to impress them. Look, they've suppressed all kinds of history when we went to school. We didn't learn any of this stuff. And one thing they didn't want to teach you about was committees of safeties or militias or anything like that. They vilified all this stuff, at least in my life, since I was a kid and to an adult. And I mean, my kids, they didn't even think about using the word militia in school. That was like a bad word, you know. But what people don't realize is all the signers of the Declaration of Independence were members of committees of safety. Well, they don't know that. How come you don't know
that?
They
were all militiamen.
And they were all militiamen, right. I mean, they may know that, but kind of like in a very light sense, you know what I mean? But, you know, when you say committee of safety, I tell them, well, Paul Revere was a member of the Committee of Safety, and he was on the Committee of Correspondence. And when he went from town to town saying the British are coming, he was only performing his job as the Committee of Correspondence on the Committee of Safety. You know, he was on his horse with the lights and all this stuff, mm-hmm. but they completely didn't tell you what his job was and how he was part of a committee of safety and that these are what they had to do because the British were living in their houses and spying on them. So these times that we're in now are just about as bad as that. And they don't have to live in your house to spy with you. All they got to do is look on your cell phone and they know what you're doing.
Well, so visit you on Facebook.
They're in your pocket 24/7. You know, the early Americans, they had troops in their house that were spying on them. They would live with them.
You know,
that's
how
they control them.
I was talking a little earlier about the problems in the schools with these electronics, you know, the smartphones and all this stuff. Your children are destroying each other with these things, putting things up there. I mean, you know, I don't know. I've heard that there's a lot more, you know, suicide in younger children these days than ever. And if that's true, it's probably a lot from that. I mean, when we were young and something happens and we're embarrassed, it's like a whole world fell apart. Mm-hmm. And if you put it on the internet, my goodness.
Now the whole world has fallen apart.
Yeah, how bad. Look, this has got to stop. People have to get mature and put a stop to this. The parents need to do this. And we need to discuss these things at the committees of safety, and we have to become active, and we have to force the schools. We're not going to ask the schools, but we are going to force the schools. We're going to tell the schools our children should not be coming to school with these phones because they're there to learn, not to be digiting, playing games on their phones and talking to each other and doing well. They got this thing out. Remember you and I heard about this, Gerard, where there's a ringer on the phone that rings, but people over a certain age can't hear it, but the kids can, and they can ring each other in the class, and the teacher doesn't hear it. Remember that?
Vaguely. I don't remember exactly.
Well, and we found that thing. I know my son did it, and I didn't hear it. They heard it.
They're just assuming all us old guys can't hear anything above a certain decibel.
Something. I don't know what it is, but something. It's weird.
Anyway.
But in any event, look, our children should not be in school playing with these things. This is not what school is about. Okay.
Well,
the parents should control that also. As a matter of fact, you know, it's up to the parents to do this.
Part of the problem with the school system is that the parenting fell down. And when the parenting falls down, who's going to pick it up? The school's going to pick it up because they're getting your kid in there unprepared, you know, or whatever. If you've got a lousy home life, then they're looking to step in to fix things because this kid's coming to school with problems. And so it's just a natural, metamorphosis to letting the state run things. People got lazy. They taught us, you know, everything should be handed to us. So the parenting wasn't there, and the schools are going to step in to do it if they have to. The trouble is they're not. The school doesn't make a good parent. And mm-hmm. and increasingly today, with a problem that they could have a meeting and flush out, instead they're calling the police and making it a criminal referral. It's bad. It's really bad. So
yeah, and also, a requirement came out where both parents have to work to survive. I mean, and again, that's
yeah,
part of the plan,
right,
and inflation
yeah.
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I know when I was a kid, almost every, I don't know if many mothers that went to work. I mean, you know, they were all homemakers. I know my mother, you know, she was a licensed a nurse, an RN, registered nurse. And when we children were born, my mother wasn't working no more, you know.
No.
So
today it's the rule, not the exception, but that's mm-hmm. the way it is. Like you said, they've created this.
Right. They have to. Two parents have to work in order to survive.
So we're reaping what we sow now. That's basically it.
Well, they put it to us, the inflation, the narrative, I mean, everything.
Anyway, let me get to Charlotte here. She's been waiting patiently. I'm going to go ahead and open you up, Charlotte. Go ahead, Charlotte, from Hawaii. Aloha.
Good evening, you guys. Thank you for all your patience and your due diligence and your sacrifice for everyone. All I just wanted to share was, I don't know if I shared it last week, I don't recall, but I haven't really been able to coordinate the Committee of Safeties, but with you guys reiterating about the handbook, I remember about a year and a half ago coming to the phone call and not even understanding what a committee man was, and I dug into the Republican Party, and even though how corrupt it is, we're kind of like infiltrating them and using it as a tool because
they had,
especially Hawaii, it's a money laundering operation here, and they don't want it operating. So we got in and we started operating it, and they're not happy.
Hey, let me ask you this. Did Hawaii ever have sheriffs?
When you talked about a constable, I looked it up, and it was about 18-something that we had constables, but once he died, they kind of swept it under the rug.
We need to get sheriffs. How many counties are in Hawaii? Four counties?
Five totally, but one is non-existent, and they twist it to put it on Big Island. So Big Island's supposed to be its own county, but they split it into two because Kalaupapa is no longer a population.
Well, I received a lot of information, research stuff on the sheriffs out of Connecticut, and I'm going through that now. We're going to be dealing with that problem to get sheriffs back into Connecticut. I know Alaska, I don't think, ever had sheriffs, and I didn't think Hawaii ever had sheriffs either. And there's also five counties in New York, seven counties in New York that don't have sheriffs, and all that is unlawful. We have to work, and we're going to do this collectively, and I don't know if you want to work with us on part of the research team to research what exactly was. It doesn't sound like there's much to really research what's going on in Hawaii, but the fact of the matter is you don't have a sheriff, and you need a sheriff. Without a sheriff, there is no constitutional law enforcer, ultimately. You know, it's just the political-controlled police forces.
Yeah, and John, just FYI, we have a website called Clean House Hawaii with a K, and it actually gives out all that information about Hawaii and the history and everything, and we actually have a petition to get it on the ballot, but I don't think we're going to make it because we needed like 130,000 people to sign.
Well, clean out, what is it, like clean, can you tell me, what is it, clean, K-L-E-A-N?
Yeah, Clean House Hawaii, exactly. You just got to
Clean House Hawaii.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you something. I'd like to work a little bit with that because we're going to be working on sheriffs. I'd like to work on sheriffs there. You see, we shouldn't approach it by trying to vote anything in. This has nothing to do with voting anything. This has to do with the legislators not doing their job, and particularly the Board of Election not getting these people onto the ballot and opening that ballot up. And, of course, that goes back to the legislators, too. So we have to deal with the legislators, the governor, and the boards of election. And if and when we fail there, and we may not fail there, but we might be able to get it through, but if we fail there, that's when we take it into the courts, okay? And the courts must deal with that. We take it into the courts, I believe, on the state level. I don't think we'll have to move it into the federal courts.
Well, a lot of states have enshrined, like New York State, as bad as they are, they enshrined a grand jury in our state constitution.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, I got to look into the Constitution.
It's very hard for them because they need 3/4 of vote. It's like to change the Constitution is not easy. So
yeah, but if Hawaii has never had any sheriffs, they may never have had anything in the Constitution.
No, they probably don't. But I'm saying if you wanted to put it in there, it would be something to think about.
When did Hawaii come into the statehood? Was that in the 60s or the 50s?
I think it's 59.
59. Okay, I'm going to look into the Hawaii Constitution.
But they were already a territory, though, weren't they?
Yeah,
because I was living there before it was a state back in the 50s.
Yeah, so the thing about this petition that we were trying to get it acknowledged to educate the people, because so many people don't even understand the power of a sheriff. You know, when I
Well, remember, the committees of safety can force the education. If you get enough power, enough people, and it depends, what county are you in?
John, this is the beautiful part of it, okay? As me being a regional vice chair, and that's kind of like a sub underneath the county chair, I got voted in last year. And I'm doing to all my precinct chairs or all my districts to push to their precinct chairs is that committee man handbook.
There you go. But so eventually you want to talk to them about the fact that they don't need to be elected for this, because statutes control people, and party bosses have control through the statutes, and they control people, and we need to get away from this. But you can use the system and eventually draw away from the system, you know?
Yeah. And that's what the whole intent is, and to cut off the it's just, you know, because they have abused so many Republicans here, it's just disheartening. But the blessing part about it is when Trump took office, they actually gave us that RNC list that Hawaii has never paid. The Republican Party didn't pay for like 8 years. So we were calling people that were dead over 8 years, you know, when I first got in. And after Trump has signed that GOP data center, but that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to hinder us from getting access to it. And it's just all of these hoops, and just it's basically establishment versus non-establishment. We have all the documentation of them violating the convention, and we're teaching people their rights and teaching them how to stand up. And it's just invigorating. So having this petition for it, it's our database to pull out the patriots out of all the corruption and trying to distinguish the rhinos versus the ones that are true.
Well, look at they're easy to find out. Once you're doing that which is right and just, you're going to find out who the rhinos are real quick.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And I just want to thank you guys.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, though, if I may. What's your county that you're in?
I'm in Oahu County, Honolulu.
And how many, any idea what the population is?
I would have to look that up, like a couple million, I think.
Yeah, Honolulu's pretty big. Yeah.
And do you have any idea how many election districts are in there?
Election districts as in, well...
Well, how many committeemen? How many committeemen are in the system? How many seats are available?
Well, we have 51 districts, basically.
51, yeah, but each one, well, they're broken up into different districts, but election districts are broken up inside those districts, too. There's got to be a lot more than 51 districts, districts.
Well,
let me give you an example.
You mean precincts?
You can call them precincts. You can call them, precincts are counties, I think. And
No, that's the 10 square block thing, remember?
Oh, okay, yes, you're right. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, the 51 is probably 51 precincts, but each one of those precincts has so many election districts, however they break it down. But let me give you an example. I think Dutchess County, which is where I live, has about 750,000 people. I think we're under a million, I know that. And out of we have 249 election districts, therefore you have 249 committeemen on the elected side of things. That's how they've worked that out. So they're limited to 249 people. And, of course, we can do 549, 840, it doesn't matter. We can take as many as we want. The more people we have, the more powerful we are, too. But, you know, you hit that number, whatever number they have, and you can move all those numbers over to the Committee of Safety, you take the whole system up at that point. But I'm interested to, do you know how many committeemen are in your county?
The problem is I'm trying to understand your terminology of committeeman versus what they call it here.
What do they call it?
Because, like, for instance, we have, like, the structure of the legislature versus the party, and I'm still learning the lingo because I only voted 5 times in my entire life.
Well, so. you could find out, you can Google it, I can Google it too, you know, because all you have to do is go to your county, your state, and your county, put out that information, how many election districts in Dutchess County, New York, for instance, and you'll find it'll pop up and say 249, and it'll do the same thing for Hawaii. So I'll take a look at that myself and see what I can find.
How many election districts, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you asked the question on Google. How many election districts in whatever your county is, Hawaii? Okay.
Well, in Oahu alone, there's 35, if that's what you're saying.
35 what?
35 district representatives for the legislature.
No, that's a difference. I'm talking about election districts, you know, where you go to vote. There's the voting booths where you go to vote.
Well,
for instance,
that's the corruption here because of Act 136. Act 136, everything is mail-in ballots now.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to get rid of that, too.
You know, and that's the hard part.
Oh.
So they said that it's 100%. And out of the whole act, almost 75% of it is striked out. So it's just total chaos here.
I don't know. Did you hear Trump's rally 3 days ago?
No, I didn't get to see it.
Well, right now, you're not going to find it on YouTube. I searched high and low, but I did find it, and I got it on the website. It's under, if you come to today's issues and you click on Trump's administration accomplishments, okay, we have three videos there. Two videos. The second one is his rally he just had 3 days ago. It was powerful. I haven't finished it yet. I was listening to it today before we came on tonight.
Yeah, my friend actually flew over there to go see him. So she's one of the PACs for the...
It is great. Trump is back.
Yes.
He's on the move, and he's revealing things little by little. You can hear it in his speeches as he's talking. And the crowds were going wild, and there was so many people. They were way out into the parking lot, and just go. He said you can't even see how far the people are away, you know. So there was so many people there. And CNN did something. I think it was CNN. Did I put it up here? There's somewhere else. I put something.
Was
I have to go look for that.
Are you talking about?
Huh?
Are you talking about the false flag?
No. CNN was downing the rallies, trying to call him that he's the problem, and none of the news media's really spent any time on it. Fox didn't even play any of the rally parts or anything. So, but anyway, great speech. Anybody who wants to listen to that speech right here under today's issues, Trump administration accomplishments. And if you haven't looked at this page before, it's unbelievable. I'm just going to quickly scroll through this. I mean, these are the accomplishments that Trump accomplished in his first 4 years. And just look at this list. This list goes on and on and on and on. It's amazing the accomplishments that he had accomplished. And he's going to bring it all back. It was really great, the rally.
Absolutely.
And I haven't even finished it.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And I just want to give you guys this the Lord's blessings upon you guys, because I've been, you know, I think I'm at like 97 of Mark for the Harmony of the Gospels. I just love getting into that.
That was a powerful study.
Oh, geez,
wasn't
it? It is.
That was my first real study, and it just advanced me in my Bible study so much. It taught me how to see the Gospels, how to read the Bible, how to interpret the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. A powerful, powerful study.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Anybody interested in that, you can get it right here at the National Liberty Alliance. We have it under our education, I think. Courses, American Educational Videos, Laws, Government, Topical. I think it's under Topical. Do you recall where you saw it?
I'm trying to remember. I think I had to Google it because I think we lost a link to it or something. I'm trying to recall where. You moved it several times.
Yeah, I know. And recently I put it where I thought it would be. Oh, maybe it's the issues. Let's see.
Christianity in America? No, it's not there. More? Not there either. I'm trying to recall. But I just Google
maybe.
It.
Yeah, it's on here somewhere.
Right here, under American History.
American History. Okay, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, anybody interested, this is a powerful Bible study if you're trying to study the Bible, A Harmony of the Gospel. It's pivoted off the Gospel of Mark. Okay. Let's see. I don't even remember how many parts it was. So, matter of fact, I think I'm going to go. It's been 30, 40 years since I've listened to this study, and I think I'm going to go back and listen to it again. 280 parts. Powerful. Powerful, powerful study.
And
brings all the Gospels, all four Gospels together.
And if I may just say one more thing, since the civics class is not working, and, you know, I wanted to try and get at least three reports done this year, but...
Okay, it's not working still?
Yeah.
I know Jan mentioned, so I think it was Jan that said he didn't think it was still working. I'm going to, you know, Carl has some personal problems, so we haven't been able to get to him. We don't want to bother him either, but I'll try to get a hold of him and see if he can take a look at it. But I may have to go to our techs that we pay service to take care of our website and back it up and, you know, maintenance it and so on, and see if they can't get in there to see what's going on. So I'll try to call them tomorrow, maybe.
Only God's timing, sir, respectfully. And, in the meantime,
yeah, but we need them. This is these studies are important. This is what we're all about. We need to have these studies up and running.
Yes,
and I want to tell you, you know, these other two studies that are going up, the foundational study and the jury administrator study, which everyone should take, whether you want to become a jury administrator at all. I mean, this is the premier of our studies. And I strongly suggest not to go jump into that one first. Do all of the others, get a good foundation and a framework, and then you do that last study, and it'll tie and pull everything together, in my opinion. So I'm getting those two studies up now, and definitely the foundational study will be available by next Monday, and possibly the if I have enough days to put into it, I'll be able to complete that. Other study, which is the jury administrators, and that is a course, you know. So, anyway.
And one more comment. It's just a foundational study, and because I couldn't do any of the things, I was watching the videos and just reading what you put on there,
mm-hmm.
because I'm trying, it's an answered prayer for you to do something like this, because my heart is to educate the Keiki here in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
to understand the power and the true, real, history. And so that's all that's lacking is I have teachers, I have people who are quitting jobs and everything, and I know the Lord's going to provide in due time, and we can use this as a like curriculum for when they start this school and stuff. That's one of my mm-hmm. prayers that I'm asking for.
Well, if you got in there and did any of those, just for a note, you know, we're going to purge the whole system once we get to finalize on the study and put it up there. So we have to purge everyone that did anything on it yet. But so you won't be accredited for it. But since you've watched the videos, you can go through each one very quick and skip the videos. And maybe you'll say, well, let me listen to this video again because it was that good. But how many videos did you listen to on it so far?
Only two, and it's kind of cool because I'll go to your guys' Rumble page and copy mm-hmm. it, and then we have a Clean House Hawaii Signal
mm-hmm.
link, and I kind of mm-hmm. drop it in there for people to listen to or watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, great.
I'm utilizing it in many different ways. In fact,
well, just know that I'm going to be purging that whole system at some point, where anybody who had gotten in prematurely, you know, they're going to be cleaned out, and you're going to have to start all over again. But it's only a study, so there's no real questions, and you can skip the areas you've already seen very quickly, and then you'll be accredited for it, because, you know, if you're going to become a jury administrator, particularly for those people who want to become a jury administrator, you have to have all of those, you have to be accredited with all of our courses, and of course, the last course, and that requirement is... You know, we should do that as soon as possible so that we go in ready to do what we have to do. But a lot of us will be in there still being educated, doing on-the-job training, so to speak. And the motivation to push people through the courses is anybody who becomes an administrator and they're not finished with the courses. We're giving them 6 months to finish the courses. And they should be monitored to make sure that they're going through the process. But a motivation to get through the course is there'll be a partial salary. They won't get full salary as an administrator until they complete those courses, so they'll only get a partial salary. But we lay out the rules and the process and the plan in the administrator's administrator's course, and also in the administrator's handbook that we're also developing at the same time.
And, you know, if you're going to scrub, I forgot what the terminology was, that you were going to clean or fix up the classes, is that with the civics courses as well? Or
oh, no. That just has to be repaired. No, but this course here, before we click it into, excuse me, and finish it, you know, we'll have to purge anybody that's in there that has already, you know, started taking some of the courses or starting to watch some of the videos. Let me see if I can find a page real quick and I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let me go over here and click this page to get to it quickly. Like this is the quiz management. Okay, right now, no, wrong one, results. Okay, right now it looks like I've already purged everyone out of here. Otherwise, there'd be the names of all the people that got into the course and it would tell them where it's at. But no, I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm looking at the jury administrator. I should be looking at the other course. Let me get back to home. This is the education courses. Let's go to courses, a foundational study. So this is the course that you're in. This is the one that will be purged, okay? And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people in there.
Yeah, I'm stuck in H2O, so I just started
okay.
to do the goal.
So most of these people, of course, are really in there to make corrections and additions and to help finalize by the end of the week. So on by Monday, I hope to have, I believe I will have everything done, and then I will delete everyone in here, and you'll have to go through it again and catch up to wherever you're at. But again, there's no questions, so you'll be able to do that quickly. You know?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to call and say, I wasn't going to talk and tape because you guys do it all the time, and I wanted you guys to relax, but when you said you wanted positive, that's why I had to click back in.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank
okay.
you very much for all you guys' hard work and
All right. Keep in touch with us and let us know what's going on, and let's talk. We'll be talking more, hopefully, about the sheriff with you. I'm going to look into it, and we're going to add Hawaii to the list. We're going to have to do it again. We have to deal with going to the state government first, and we'd like the people of Hawaii do it, and I'll just help do it with them. We want the people of Connecticut doing it, and I'm going to help them do it. We'll be backing them up. But if we have problems and we have to, we'll take it into the federal courts, too. But I don't think we'll have to do that.
Yes. Oh, and one last thing, the court case we have going to see tomorrow. I was kind of briefly sharing about that with everybody last week. But we tried filing summary judgments because the mayor of Honolulu didn't respond still yet till today when her court date is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The Attorney General's office was late on filing, so we tried filing summary judgments against them too, and the judge denied our summary judgment. And so,
well, do you understand? And if you do understand, you need to make it clear to the judge. But if you don't understand, you need to realize this and make it clear to the judge that in order for them to survive a default, they have to do two things. First of all, they have to have good cause on why they didn't show, okay? And the Attorney General's office, they can't find a good cause. There's plenty of lawyers there. Anyone could have came. That's number one. The second thing is they have to prove in the court that they have a possibility of winning, okay? And if they can't prove both of those things, if they
not
can't
show good
cause... Not a
possibility, but a probability. It's even better.
It's a
probability, not possible. Just
no, no, make it that they have a case that they can argue. That's the key. So if they can't prove one that and show good cause on the other, they're out. They can't come back in. So, you know, look into that.
They don't go by law today, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, you want... That's the problem, of course. Yeah, you want to press that judge into giving you a written decision on how they came about their decision. You deserve that.
If he doesn't do the right thing, then you report him to the whatever judge thing they got over there for reporting judges. They don't like to get reported, as even as controlled as it might be. They don't like their names to go on those complaints, because if they get enough of them, it does come to fruition. Sometimes it does bite them.
Did you come in as a court of record, or did you come in as you know, some other way. I mean, not to bring and open a court record, because they immediately go to a judge, and if you open a court record, they can't make no decisions. They can't throw you out. This is the people's court. It's the jury that makes that decision. And even the United States Supreme Court says that that's an unrighteous, unjust rule, because look at the case itself. Will be held up on its own merits, or it won't. There's no reason to throw a case out in the beginning. So, I mean, it has to be so bad that that it just doesn't even make sense, whatever the person wrote or something, in order to really even think about throwing the case out.
Well, basically, we're trying to hold the state accountable, because each county is using, like, for instance, in the court case on December 23rd, the corporate counsel that was that showed up for Mayor Kawakami on Kauai, basically what we're asking for is in one of the statutes in Hawaii, there's this thing called the Emergency Management Agency, which was usually called the Civil Defense, and Adjutant General is supposed to be giving key emergency recommendations to the governor, which they have not even had anybody. So they're just unilaterally taking power, and they're trying to kick our case out. They're all motioning to dismiss together. It's just a whole bunch of hogwash.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, look, if you need my assistance on some of the things, you know, get in touch with me, and you know, and you can get to me. You can look for me at mail@nationallibertyalliance.org. You know, I get that. I don't get to read all of it, but I'll keep an eye out open. But here's the thing. Well, maybe another week, next week or something. There's no, you guys aren't making any big decisions right now, are you, to move?
Move what? What do you mean move?
Well, you're being thrown out of the court. What's your next step?
Appeal? I'm just learning on all of this. So Carl Dix is the one that does all the writings. And mm-hmm. so he put me on top of the case with him, and I'm getting hands-on civics 201 with him full-on.
Okay, so he knows how the process works, and he's working the pay. Okay, that's fine.
Very well.
We'd like to hear some more about it in the future, maybe in the next week or two. You can give us a little more information. We got to move on because we're running out of time. We still have a few people in the queue.
Sorry about that. Yes, thank you, guys. Godspeed to you.
Well, this was a good call. Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. I'm gonna pick Marge from North Carolina, because I think I left her in the queue last week. So, go ahead,
hey,
Marge.
Hello there, everybody.
Hey.
Margie.
Hey there, John. John, I want to let you know that you were mentioned it tonight. I'm reading your, it's 189 pages. The court system, you know, the civil part is first. It is an old paper, like you when you were in the New York.
Committeeman?
Committeeman, I believe.
Yeah.
And but I found it, so that's what I'm reading, because I need to know, you know, it's very fascinating.
You want to understand the committeeman process?
Well, no,
she's
that
reading
paper,
the paper you put out on the New York committeeman.
Right.
Well, not that one. The it's the... like, do you have the jurist, what is that called, it's on your website, called
jurisprudence?
Oh,
well,
jurisdictionary.
No, the,
jurisdictionary.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's on the right-hand side of our website, How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer. This is a very good course if anyone wants to take it. When I took the course, it was $300, maybe a little more than that. You know, as long as you ignore the civil law that he teaches in there, and focus in on what you can learn and apply the common law and the Constitution, which that's another thing he shies away from. Lawyers are taught to do that. You know, let's not focus in on try to interpret the Constitution. There's plenty of statutes out there you can use to win your case, they say, and blah, 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 blah. So they take you away from the Constitution. They take you to civil law, which, again, is Babylonian law. It's the law of the city. And it just takes you away from the common law. So, but the process and the procedures and how to write papers, that's all good stuff in there. I mean, this
yes,
is how
well,
I
that's
learned.
What I got. Yeah. You do have that on the right side of your the website, which is good. But mm-hmm. no, I got into the paper, I'm not online right now, but I don't know how it's titled, but it's the court, how to...
How to access the courts. Yeah, I wrote a book on that, how to access the courts. It's probably a couple hundred or a hundred and some pages.
It's 189, so that's what I'm reading now.
Yeah, now that, just bear in mind now, you know, I put that together relatively quick. I never was happy with it, but I wanted to get something out there. It's a lot of great stuff, a lot of stuff I learned from really, you know, from going to How to Win in Court. But I am in the process. I'm going to rewrite that. And I want to spend some really good time and give a really better understanding. I don't think I even gave a real expression or a good understanding on how the court system, the phrases. I think there's 8 steps in a court case, if I recall. But I want to go through all these different steps, and I have a lot to say on what they try to do to you and how you may be able to prevent this from happening or that from happening. So I'm going to work on that.
Well, what it was where I'm at now is with the civil part, you know, because I wanted to see how he talks, what he says. Mm-hmm. So he says, you know, 5 parts to this or that, you know, the different terms he uses. So I study with him.
So you're taking his course at the same time?
Well, no, I'm not taking his. I'm not doing that. I found your paperwork. It's 189 pages. It's called, How to... the title of the court, something with the court. Then the next part is the common law, you know, the paperwork and what you need to do. I think it's 7 chapters or 8 or...
John, didn't you rewrite that?
Rewrite what?
His course, and you made it more common law, and you put...
I did my own papers, but I got a lot of information from him, of course. Yeah.
Right. But he wasn't common law enough, so you went back...
No, he wasn't common law.
No, and that was your result of going through, sort of correcting his stuff. Maybe.
Right, but I'm sure I'd also have some error in there, because my thinking back then, it was not as good as my thinking today. And you never arrive to wherever you're heading to. You know, even when you think you're never there, because there's always a correction to be made as time goes on. And that's an important thing, that people are ready to be corrected, because if we're not going to do that, we're not going to have a just system.
I can't remember the title of it, how you titled it, but it was when you were in the New York committee, something or other. New York committee.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't find it. I thought it would be under the edge.
You can search at the search bar on the website.
Well, that's true. What did I call it? Do you remember?
Something that I'm trying to... How to access the court?
Well, let's just try. Let's just try how to and see what comes up.
Okay, how to access the courts or something.
How to remove yourself from a mailing list, the county, how to send the articles, essay, members, how to win in court, but that might be...
Yes, something.
That might be his, I don't remember.
It's 189 pages, but in 7 chapters or 8 chapters. But will you change it? I mean, will you put any of his civil... Because he's a lawyer. Will you put any of leave the civil out and just do the common law or what? Because
I focused in on process and paper writing. Okay.
Yeah, that's the second part.
That's mostly what I focused in, as I remember. But again, you know, it was early on, and I had a lot to still learn, and that's why I want to rewrite it.
When you took the course, that what do you call that book? Just with a J.
The jurisdictionary.
That's it. Jurisdictionary. And so you took from that what you learned there, and then you made this.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm looking for it now, and I'm not seeing it. Let me go back. I thought it would have been under education. That's where I thought I would have put it.
Yes, it was.
And it might have been under law, and that's it right here. It's under law. How did I miss that? Okay, so I go to law, and I come to court forms and process. I go there, and then when I get to that page, then you have instruction forms to move, to challenge. Also, I have his course up here you can purchase if you want. Once I get the book done, I'll probably delete that, you know, because then you'll be able to get all the information without the civil law side of things. Although we will talk about that and the problems with that. Move the court, notice and demand, downloads. Okay, downloads. It might be under here. No, not there. Randoms, landmark Supreme Courts. It's in here somewhere. So I remember this is the page that it is at. Maybe it's at the top. Let's see. Instructions forms challenging jurisdiction. That wouldn't be there. How to move your case for cause. Instructional forms to file habeas corpus. Move the court for enforcement. Notice and demands. And download footnotes. Let me tell you right here, download footnotes, and I could probably add to this. I won't open it now with the win thing. This here is what I did is every time I had to put a footnote in a case, and I went through and studied, you know, that particular subject matter, particularly through Black's Law and Brovier's Law. And then I started collecting footnotes, okay? So in that is really, really, really powerful footnotes. Anybody that gets into that page, that's what you should look at. Let me just give a quick point on that. Let me open this up a bit.
Okay. But I enjoy it. I like it, you know.
Footnotes, quotes. Okay, here. This here, and this is what is there, and it's, I believe it's up to date and everything. You know, each one of these is a footnote that I've used in my cases. And now when I write cases, I can go up and look it up. If I don't have a footnote for a particular phrase or something I want to have a footnote, and then I'll study and then I'll add it to this. Okay, so this was a very, very powerful, it's a great study, you know, because you get to understand the meanings of all these things, these words, extortion, expunge, estoppel, esquire. I mean, these are good behavior, judicial cognizant, legal duty, nisi prius, no statutes on rights, lose his court, you can't lose your court, who the magistrate is, what the intent is, injury. And that's a big one because I've seen so many people convicted without proven intent. I mean, you got to prove intent in order to have someone, a criminal intent in order to convict them of a crime. Okay? Juries don't know that. No, in criminal law, in criminal court, okay, you go to court and it's a criminal case, they have to prove criminal intent. If they can't prove criminal intent, you got to be found innocent.
Yeah.
Okay, but juries don't know that. They don't tell juries that, and a lot of people have been convicted without the intent.
That's where Ryan Sherman went to jail.
Right, exactly.
There was no criminal intent there. You know, they're just using statutes to bust his chops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, due process.
That's what I'm into, the civil part of it, and he uses these, you know, the civil part uses these different terms. And I do remember, you know, what you just, intent. They always
right.
use different things.
Yeah, so that's key. You know, they have to prove intent. I don't know why I'm not finding that book here, because I did have the book on this page. Here, Access Tenant Civics Courses, Contact, Access and Government Consent Course, Jurisdictionary.
My computer came.
Yeah, I know it up here somewhere. So I'll have to go looking for it. But I'm going to rewrite it anyway and get it up here. But I know it's still up here somewhere.
Yeah, it is. But I'm going to try to give you the title here in just a second. Darn it! It says it's not fine. It says cover. What is the thing doing? But also, while I'm waiting on this thing, we're going back to. Okay, we're going to have United States Supreme Court and the Congress. We're going to have a new United States Congress. Everybody's gone. We're going out, you know, because we're going back to constitutional law. And my question is...
I didn't understand what you said. Say that again.
Well, we're going... Okay. United States Supreme Court and the Congress, United States Congress. We're going to... you know, everybody's going to be gone out of there.
Arrest or hang most of them, yes. Arrest or hang most of them, yes. Correct.
So
we'll have to elect two individuals. Yep.
Yeah. So it'll be in our favor. And we're going back to the Republic rule of law, the Constitution, very soon. So, these things, cases that you have in your Northern District of, your Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury,
right?
At the federal level, we should be able to get right in there, right? And then
that's right, because we're already in there.
So it's all going to be resurrected.
Right, they have to take them first. They've been sitting there getting mold on them.
That's
so
why we tell people to connect. We tell people, you know, the only way we can really help people is for them to connect to our case. You know, they can continue in court, and they should maybe, and they'll probably lose because that's what they do. They maintain the status quo. But the bottom line is, at some point, justice must prevail, and restitution must be applied because that's the common law.
I think you're going to start seeing some of these judges coming around making good decisions here and there because I don't think they want to do it from the top. I think they're too chicken. The Supreme Court has already been bought and paid for, and like you said, they all got to go anyway. But I think some of these judges that Trump put in, which is, I don't know how many, 100 or 200 or whatever, when they realize what's going on, and they realize that they got to stick with common law, I think you're going to start seeing victories on that, on those lower federal levels. And I think that's going to be good for us. It's going to be exciting. And I think that's the way it's going to go down. You know, I think you're going to start seeing justice in your local places with these decisions, which are basically going to set up the upper courts because it kind of sets a precedent. You know what I mean? When they uphold the Constitution. Look, they should never be able to go against the Constitution, but they do, you know. So every time we get a judge that upholds the Constitution, that makes us stronger, and it makes it easier for the next guy coming in, you know.
Right. All the Supreme Court the associate justices. I mean, they're all going to be gone. I mean, and then when we go back to Nassar, which is Trump's going to announce it, then all the judges and the lawyers, the bar attorneys, they're going to have to get re-educated in the Constitution, and if they don't, then they're out.
Well, they're not going to be able
to.
Remember, though, look at the bar attorneys. They're going to look at. We need to shut the bar down because it's the enemy of liberty. It's the enemy of the United States. It's the enemy of we the people, and they are the destructive force in this nation that's been operating in order to destroy common law since 1750. The Bar Association was created and applied in the colonies in 1750 to destroy the common law, you know, process that we had because there was a problem with the king. And Franklin and a bunch of other people were giving him a real hard time. And Franklin was out there with his newspaper pushing these issues. We can show how they have destroyed everything. They've destroyed our court. They've destroyed our political process. They created making us a corporation, the United States Inc. They have just destroyed us, totally destroyed us. But bear in mind, okay, there are a lot of lawyers, especially on a federal level, that are experts in different codes. So for instance, the president wants to know what he could do legally. There's 1,000 pages of legislation. You have to have people who are educated in that system and understand so they can advise the president on what powers he could do, what's legal, what's not legal, what he can do. And there's 57 codes that apply to this kind of thing. Okay?
That's right.
And that's all, you know, there are a lot of lawyers that have been being expertise in a lot of these different codes, whether it's on the federal level, but they also have it on the state levels too. And that's where they really the lawyers should be. Now, they could be legal counsel, but they're not going to be much of a counsel to people who are battling cases and you're looking for common law because they don't know nothing about common law. You're right. That's a problem for them in those cases. But there'll still be a lot of procedural stuff that they've learned and they can do and continue to do. Battling
right,
the case.
Right, they're going to have to all get re-educated in, you know, the Nassar law.
Maybe they'll come to us and take our courses, you know.
And then, in each county, the common law grand jury, okay, we have statute grand juries in there now. So...
Uh-huh.
when that opens up, John, is what I wanted to ask, and Gerard, we should be able to go right in there, right?
Yeah, when it opens up, absolutely.
Well, yeah, because we got to get rid of
the common law grand jury administrators. You know, the statute's going to be gone.
Right. Well, right now they have the commissioners of jurors, and that whole system, that's got to be taken down, torn down, because they are destructive. They're the ones that make the decision on who's going to be on what case. They deal with the jurors, they give them the papers, they ask them the questions, they do the orientation to the juries, they teach them or tell them how the system works and that you have to obey the judge and all this other crap that they teach, because it's all civil law. Those people got to go. We cannot permit. They have proven that they cannot be allowed to take care of the people's business. The people must take care of their own business. And yes, so it should be a slam dunk getting it in once we're on the other side.
Right. You know what
it's
else they do?
It's a county, right? We have to maybe do
county,
some paperwork
right.
or something.
It'll be a federal case to take it in and move it into the county. Yeah,
sure.
Each county has to have their own administrators and deal with the courts and make sure common law is applied. And a lot of this information is going to be found in the administrator's handbook. And we're going to incorporate a lot of it into the course.
And this is going to happen real soon. I mean, because we're very close.
Trump is on the move. If you listen to his rally, yeah,
19th president of the United States. So
listen to his rally, and I'll tell you, he's on the move.
You know, in my county here, and I think they do it in a lot of other counties, they'll take the county clerk. And they give them control over the jurors, the commissioner of jurors. I think that's a conflict. You know what I'm saying? That should not be an elected position running that. You know what I mean?
Well, look, these are bar attorneys. That shouldn't be it either.
Right. And so,
the people who are running the commissioners, the jurors, are bar attorneys.
Right. And sometimes they're your county clerk that you voted for.
But that sounds like the Board of Election, you know, and the state committee.
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't even exist.
All kinds of crap going on right now that are not going to exist after this. But there's going to be growing pains going through that. They're not going to want to accept that. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm telling you, it might come down to actually having their sheriff remove them from the office.
Okay.
They may refuse to leave.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's not going to go down without a struggle, I'm telling you right now. They're not going to just give up and roll over.
They'll be in jail.
I understand, but they're still going to do false flags and anything they can do. You know, the seven-headed hydra isn't going to go down all at once. You ain't going to pull a head at a time until...
Yeah, but once it's all said and done, they're either in jail or at the end of a short rope, and that's that. Then that's when we'll get it all. But, yeah, we'll start... Look, we just have to win in the federal courts, but we can't win in the federal courts till house is cleaned.
All right. Anyway, we're way over time here.
Yeah. You want to take one or two more or what?
Let's see. Well, we got three
people. If they can make it short.
Okay. I'm going to take the... What is this? How do you say that? Taz? Chicago, Illinois? Is that what it is? Go ahead. You're open to...
This is Tzok.
Tzok. Just the way it sounds.
Yeah, really. What's wrong with you, Gerard?
I should have just did it phonetically. I would have got it right?
Well, it's phonetic for English, so it's the Americanized pronunciation of an Aztec name. In Spanish, it's Tzok, but I figure Tzok is easier, so that's how I'm
saying it. Right. I will never forget it again.
Yeah, kind of like Tupac, you know?
Right, but, Tupac.
So every once in a while I get on and I say, like, hey, let's meet up. And I think the last time I mentioned that some doctor in the area reached out to me through word of mouth, and, you know, she's eager to meet. She wants to meet sometime, you know, I think a week or two ago she said she wanted to meet in a week or two, and she contacted me again earlier today, and she wants to meet, you know, next week if possible. So I think that might be my first step towards, and maybe I've already taken some because I mentioned I've been meeting with some other groups.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone in or around Chicago, you know, please reach out to me. You can reach me at my email address if you'd like, peopleslawman@gmail.com. Again, peoples, that's plural, lawman, gmail.com, or possessive, I should say, because people is already plural. But so, yeah, sometime, I don't know if it'll be next week or possibly the week after, but if we can, if you want to reach out to me, that'd be great. If anyone here is available or interested and would like to speak up, that would be great, because I think so far we're batting a perfect zero on trying to get meetups with NLA. But thank you to the Wisconsin coordinator. I don't, not that that's a, an official title, but whoever spoke earlier about how to form these committees of safety. I know we're not meeting tomorrow, but it seems like we're covering at least half of that today. And just to confirm, that email for that gentleman is DOC, doc, like short for doctor, at beardchiropractic.com, correct?
Yeah, what happened? Yeah, that was earlier he gave that information out.
Right,
yeah.
Earlier tonight. So I'll reach out to him, but, you know, I'm in the same boat, and I'm sure people in counties and cities, you know, all over the nation, several who are probably listening right now, also want to start meeting and, you know, I guess spread the word if you know people in or around Chicago, even if they're in Indiana, Michigan, or Wisconsin, you know, because I'd like to get a meeting in the next week or two. I'm in Chicago, and that's pretty much all I wanted to say. I don't know if anyone has any feedback or questions.
Okay, good.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Yep.
All right, have a good night. By the way, I did find that booklet, and like I said, I'm rewriting this. I'm not really happy with it. I done it a long time ago. You know, and, you know, as life goes on, you always find errors, and you have to make your corrections. So, but it is down under downloads. Was this where I just hit it? Yeah, downloads. And it was civil court, no, court procedure book right here under downloads. And you open it up, it could open up as a PDF. And you're right, it's 189 pages total. And it's the common law and court procedure book. And again, I tried to put together something to teach people on how to get into the courts. But I really want to enhance this and grow on it and make my corrections where I find my errors, maybe take some things out and put other things in, and I'm sure it's going to be still around 250 pages probably. And I might also really put this book up and have it published. You know, I'll see how I'm going to go with that. But
I'll tell you, it's worth its weight in gold once you get it perfected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, even as it is, it's really still good. And,
that's
and again,
right. You can function. You can go in there
absolutely.
And, you know.
Absolutely. And on top of that, that with all also all of this information, which will be also be part of the book, I'll get this into the book. I don't think I had this stuff in the book, and I think that's why I put this up here. I don't remember. You know, instructions on form and forms to challenge jurisdiction, instructions and forms to move your case for cause, instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus, move your court for enforcement, a notice and demand, and then the downloads, and then a bunch of memorandums, which are pretty powerful. Some of these memorandums have been updated, but they're still powerful no matter how you get it. Landmark Supreme Court cases, which are really very powerful. People should read these particular cases. You know, Marbury versus Madison, U.S. versus Williams, Miranda versus Arizona, extremely powerful case. You know, these are really powerful cases. There's only a couple of them that I listed up here. I'm sure there's more. And I guess this is comments that people made, so we'll leave that. Okay, so on this page, there's a lot of good stuff, and that's where that book is. So,
is this the page that had the footnotes on it, too?
It's got the footnotes, too. Yeah.
That's, I found that
that's
very
helpful. That's the under downloads. Oh, that's most powerful. Yes.
Yes. Is that where it is, under downloads?
Probably under downloads. I'm looking for right now. No, it's not there, but I should be able to find it quick. Control, let's see, foot. Footnotes right here. Under downloads, it is. How did I miss it?
Yeah, okay, very good. Yep, I want to go in and I got, you gave me a download folder, a footnote folder a long, long time ago.
Uh-huh.
I want to go in and up and see if it's up to date. I'll just download this one, I think.
Well, it's been a very long time since I uploaded, updated any of this stuff up here. And again, this page here, I really want to work on and create a book out of it and probably publish it eventually. But but I want to pull it all together and make it clear. You know, one of the things that the lawyer didn't do that gave that course is he didn't give a synopsis, a framework, an idea of a structure of what he's going to teach. And I think that's so valuable and so important to really give someone some kind of a synopsis on what they're about to learn and what this is all about and how it works and some kind of a framework so that when you're working through stuff, you have a place to put it in your brain. This goes over here, and it puzzles together, So they don't give that framework for puzzling things together. I want to try to do that to make certain things very clear so people have certain mindsets and certain understanding on how things work and how the corrupted part is working and how to maybe defeat certain things and also how to deal with the IRS, which maybe I shouldn't even add in the book because they're going to be gone soon. They'll probably be gone before the book even potentially is published. But I do want to get something up much better than what I've got. And I'll see where we go with it. So.
Look, we got Michael from Michigan, the last guy. You want to do him?
Go right ahead.
We're over already, so.
Yep.
Michael, go ahead.
Certainly, John, you guys wouldn't cut me off.
Of course not. Gerard might. You got to watch out for him,
Well, I would have said Gerard, but his name escaped me momentarily. But I had contact with Francine, and she was going to text me information about the Illinois group that's removing the public servants in bad standing out there, and they've removed a lot of them.
Edgar County Watchdogs. Edgar County Watchdogs. They go around the nation now and do that. They teach people how to do it.
Edgar County Watchdogs.
Right. Don't we have a write up on them, John? Don't we got a video or something on our site?
Yeah, we have a video. I'm looking for the Rumble thing because I'm not sure where on the site it is. We definitely have that. If you go to our front page, for instance, go to welcome. All right. And you click on the seminar here. It is in here, and you can pop ahead.
Land.
I'm not sure. There it is, right here. This is not government by consent. Hold on. Which is
okay. I think you directed me
for this will. I just had it. I just saw him, but I lost him. Here it is. Oh, here it is.
Legislation.
What we've done here and what they've done there and get the best results.
Tracks.
So you can find that in here. It looks like it's 1 hour and 3 minutes in. This is where that begins. But you can also get it up on Rumble, okay? We do have it up on Rumble. What did you say was the... Gerard, what did you say was the name of this video or the group?
Edgar County Watchdogs.
Edgar County. I'll be able to find it by that. Let me go into my content. And if you go up onto my page, on NLA's page, Edgar, E-D-G-E-R?
Edgar. E-G-A-R, I think.
E-D-G-A-R, or?
I don't know if it's a D or not.
Well, let's try the word county. Maybe the word county should pop it up. Duty to county sheriff, power. No, it didn't come up on that. I know I have it up here because we've put it onto our page also. Watchdog. Let me do watchdog. Is that what it is?
Yeah, watchdogs. Plural.
It's plural?
I think.
Well, that's not coming up either.
Yeah, I know it's
that's not coming up. I don't know why it's not coming up, but you can get it on our front page at the 1 hour and 3 minute mark is where it starts on this first video.
Okay.
And
I'd just like to say two quick things here because I know it's getting late and you guys want to have some time to yourselves, especially for that thing they call sleep. But
yeah,
I got a kick out of this. You'll probably get a kick out of this, but I wrote it down. It says, well, this might not be verbatim, John, but you said something to the fact that you never arrive where you want to be.
Yes, you never arrive.
That's so true. That's so true. That's so true. And the last thing that we're
anybody really, who thinks they have is in trouble. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Or dead.
That's about when you arrive. That's when you become one with the Lord.
But if there's one thing that gives me a righteous fury that wants me to jump out of my skin is when I turn the television set on and I hear this fluffy, puffy music, and it's talking about the children getting vaccines, promoting kids, you know, that you must get a vaccine. Your family and friends, or you may harm them. I can't stand that.
So bad for the children of the last 20, 30 years. I feel so bad, and especially today, even worse. These kids that are growing up and have been isolated from other children in school, it's horrible.
Yeah. Well, not only that, they may never grow up.
Yeah, they've robbed their childhood.
They're gonna be sick if they grow up. They're gonna be sick the rest of their life. This is a bioweapon. Make no mistake.
Psychologically too.
Yeah.
Even the ones that didn't get the shot, psychologically they're going to be affected severely.
Yeah, well, they're going full circle.
But the victory's won. The Lord's gonna take these children in His arms, no matter what they try to do to them.
Amen.
So the victory's won. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, pleasure, guys. So 7:15 Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
Yeah, tomorrow. Gerard's going to run that, and then we're going to make a decision whether we'll continue that or not. I mean, I don't know. I got so much to do, it's hard for me to find more time to do things like that. But this is what Monday night should be. And if I do a program tonight and people come on a Monday, then I do a program on Tuesday and then they come. But then they still have to deal with their own programs that they got going and their own, you know, committees of safety and meetings and stuff. I don't want to overload people, you know, with me. I want to overload people with education, though, that's for sure. We'll see about continuing. But, Gerard, you're going to try to run the room tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Right here in this room.
But through good information, the only way you're going to get numbers.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
All right, guys.
That's true. Maybe we should continue the Tuesday thing because once people get committees of safety going, they can come there when they think they have a problem. If they don't have a problem, go do what you got to do. You got the books. You don't need to come, you know. But if you
have a question, I understand.
That's a place to go, you know.
I understand you can point somebody to a website, John, but that's not quite the same as, receiving information on a specific subject matter.
Well, absolutely, and that's exactly why we've done open forums since the day we started this and going back to the New York Committeemen and right up into what we're doing today. We've been doing 3 hours for, goodness, let's see, since 2013, roughly, to 2012.
We should have recaptured the Republic by then.
Yeah. Well, we've been doing this for 10 years. 10 years now.
Yeah.
And again, it was 2013 when the National Liberty Alliance was born. I think it was December of 2013.
So but you gotta think. Why do you do it? Because you're inspired by the truth, right?
Well, amen. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. No. And what got me on this is the close connection with the Bible, because I was a Bible teacher. And the whole thing of our founders, our common law, our constitution. It all stems from the Bible, and that's why I'm so connected to this.
Yeah, how should we live, legally or lawfully?
Correct. Yeah, there you go.
All right, guys. been a pleasure. You guys have a blessed evening.
Okay, Godspeed, everybody. I think we're done, right?
Yes, we are.
All right.
Godspeed, everybody. Gerard, close it down. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday.
Yep. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yep.